Happy holidays, everybody. It's our annual holiday show. And for today, I've brought together some of the older members of our family. People have been with us for a long time. Paul Thurrott from Windows Weekly is here. Steve Gibson from Security Now. Doc Searles from Floss Weekly. And cranky old Jeff Jarvis from This Week in Google. We're going to look back at the biggest stories of 2022. A very special twit is next.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twit. This Week in Tech, episode 907. For Christmas Day, 12/25, 2022, recorded on 12/15, 2022, the old guys look back. This Week in Tech is brought to you by 8 Sleep. Go to 8sleep.com/twit for exclusive holiday savings and ring in the most wonderful time of night. If you're listening after December 31st, use the same URL, 8sleep.com/twit, to check out the pod and save $150 at checkout with our usual offer. And by Audible. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. Let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or be entertained. New members can try it free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/twit or text twit to 500-500. And by IT Pro from ACI Learning. IT Pro TV is now IT Pro from ACI Learning. If you're looking to break into the world of IT, or if your IT team needs to level up, get the introduction you need with IT Pro. Check out an IT Pro business plan by visiting itpro.tv/twit today. It's time for Twit. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. The special edition of Twit for Christmas Day 2022. Of course, we're recording this ahead of time because I can't, you know, I don't want everybody to come in on the holiday, but I am thrilled that we have a great little panel for us. We've always done something fun for our holiday at Twit, and I think Lisa suggested, why don't you bring in the old men? We did the women last time. We'll do the old men. I got all the old men are here. Doc Searles, welcome. Good to see you.
I think I'm probably the oldest to start.
You might
with me,
you yeah. might have yeah. pride of place. I'm starting starting with you, yeah. Doc. Of course, the host of Floss Weekly, a good friend forever. Doc.Searles, SEARLS.com. Good to see you, Doc.
Yeah, good to see you.
Welcome.
It's great.
He is, yes, his bookshelf is color coordinated. We'll explain.
It's color. It's no longer my bookshelf. My books are on there, but my kid, who's 26 years old, and his girlfriend rearranged them by color.
That's hysterical.
Which is not a literary thing to do.
That's hysterical.
But it's a decorative thing to do.
So joining us from New Manhattan, where he has a beautiful wooded view out his window, which is amazing, and skunks.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also from New Jersey. We're working our way east, west. Jeff Jarvis, the host of This Week at Google. And somehow associated with Craig Newmark. Thank you, Anthony. Yes. I wasn't going to read the whole damn thing.
No. Not for Twit. Yeah. Not for the grown-up table.
Not for the grown-up table. We missed you yesterday. We had a great twig.
Oh, it was very sad. Yeah. It was great. I watched the first hour of a five-hour show. And
Well, the good news is we got you today, so I'm thrilled to have you here. We're recording this.
I had to be gone because it's the end of the term, and so when I graduate, I'm going to move this over here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He is wearing, by the way, I should mention, a sequined Santa hat.
And?
Oh, very good.
And?
Twit.
Wrong breast.
My festive.
Wrong breast. Thank you. That one.
I always get confused. Yes.
We put it over your heart.
He wanted festive colors, but the only festive color I have is gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gray is a little brighter than black. You know who's festive today? Holy cow. Our Grinch.
Oh, is he ever?
Steve Gibson from GXC.com. You're the mean one, Mr. Steve. He is wearing his entire Grinch outfit. Wow, Steve. Welcome.
I don't know how I'm going to be taken seriously in this getup, Leo, but we'll give it a try.
Have you used an Arduino to animate the Grinch mitt? Because
No.
Hand animation,
green stuff in my mouth, which is annoying. But I've been licking my arm in order to get rid of it. Like my arms are wet now.
Also here to join us on our holiday special, Paul Thurrott of Windows Wiki. You're the youngest, I think, in the bunch.
Wow.
The only one under 60.
We saw a picture of you, Paul, back at the beginning of Windows Weekly when you were still in
dark
diapers.
Dark-haired so, and, handsome fella.
We've all aged together on this show, really.
Yes, we have.
That's what's and so interesting, gracefully. Isn't it? Yeah, we all started. When we started, we were youngsters, and now we're the old ones. Anyway, I thought I'd bring in the people with experience. How about that? People who know to talk about. And what we're going to do this week, because it's the only next week will be a best of before we come back and do live stuff. The week after tomorrow, from tomorrow on, will be best ofs. But I thought we should do what we often do, which is a look back at the year 2022. So I have picked the top 15 stories from 2022, and I invite you all to weigh in. I didn't do anything special. I didn't mention Windows 11, Paul. I'm sorry.
You know what, guys? I forgot. I got something else I need to do. So,
come back here. You sit right down and do these stories, Mr. Grinch. I didn't do anything specifically about the Conti gang or anything like that, but there is actually quite a bit of security news. How could you not talk about the year without some security news? Not much.
Hire out, Steve. I might need you around the holidays.
He's great for children's parties and bar mitzvahs. Yeah, everybody needs a Grinch in their lives. Not a whole lot of open source news, Doc. I apologize, but the only open source news I found was there was one kind of serious Linux security flaw, which was quickly patched and it was over. And in fact, one of the things I noticed when I went through all of the old shows to put this together was how many stories we talk about that seemed like a big deal at the time.
Right.
That ended up really, if I brought them up now, you'd go, well, what? That never, nothing big. For instance, I'll give you a good example. Joe Rogan and Spotify. Remember at the beginning of the year, that was a huge story. Joe Rogan, because of his COVID misinformation, Spotify refused to take him down. So Neil Young, among others, said, well, I don't want to be on Spotify. Spotify took down Neil Young's music, but didn't do anything to Joe Rogan. We found out that they'd already paid him $200 million, so I guess I understand why.
Shouldn't we still be outraged by this, though?
Which?
All of it. Joe Rogan getting that much money. Joe Rogan spreading COVID misinformation.
I think
Spotify
doing absolutely nothing about it. They kind of handled it by him saying, okay. And then Spotify saying, well, we'll put a notice on it if it's really bad. And then it
like
just kind
of
went away.
Like a pack of cigarettes kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's all snow on the water. You know, it kind of sparkles on the way down. It looks fun, and then it hits the water and it's gone.
Yeah. So now there are 14.
Media.
Now there are 14
media
topics. Operates. Yeah, it's how media operates.
But there were plus Joe Rogan got out-jerked by Miles.
That was the other thing.
He was
kind
of the big jerk of media. And now, of course, we have a much bigger one we'll get to at some point.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It became less... It seemed mild, in fact, compared
to... The jerk bar went up.
Went way higher. Way higher.
Yeah.
It's also human nature, right, that outrage doesn't last very long. This is the problem that politicians are always having.
Oh, you need to hang around with me more, Steve. Outrage can last for a really long time.
he's still mad about ads in the Windows 11 menu bar. Don't get started here. Don't get started. The big story that did last and lasted all year started in February, which was, of course, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. And it turned out to be a fairly big tech story. A lot of... You know, tech companies got involved. We had stories from the Washington Post about how Google Maps was being used to track the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In fact, one of the most interesting things that came out of Ukraine is that you don't have to be a secret agent to gather information about what's going on, not only in this war, but in general, because of the internet. So much stuff is online now that, in fact, the NSA and the CIA created... groups to go out and go through public information for their you know reports for their research. Also in the story, Russia
cutting off Facebook and Twitter, trying to protect their populace from any information about the invasion. We even had video from Twitter of Russian police asking on the streets to see Russian citizens' smartphones and see what they were doing, what they were doing with them.
Well, I think one of the interesting questions is, we're seeing all this technology leaving Russia. We are hearing that the professionals have all left. And you wonder, like, okay, what will happen when this gets resolved? Do they come back?
Do they go back? Yeah.
And if not, how can Russia, how can any modern large country exist these days without its technological base? How does it have an economy that functions?
I talked this morning with a new advertiser who had a team in Russia, mostly composed of young men. They got them all out because they were worried about being conscripted. And they so they were happy to go, and some of them are in Montenegro, some of them are in Poland. They got them out, which I thought was quite interesting.
Related to this, I don't think this is in the notes, but all of the companies that left Russia because of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not just tech companies, but other companies, right? So there's
McDonald's.
I was going to say there's some company operating out of McDonald's locations that is not McDonald's.
But they have a Horosho Mac. I don't know. The name of the new McDonald's is called Big Hit, and it looks a lot like it. The new
close enough.
Vkusno Itochka is in the old Russian McDonald's stores, which I guess I'm told. Oh, their slogan is tasty, and that's it.
I thought it'd be tasty, and if that,
But don't ask what's in meat, but
it's like meat.
Yes.
There are companies that stayed in Ukraine, though.
In fact, a lot of our tech companies did. Yeah. That's right, MacPaw.
A lot of tech companies stayed in
Ukraine. Grammarly stayed in Ukraine. We had a story this year about a company that did Darth Vader's voice. Of course, James Earl Jones aging out of that role. And that company, which was creating an artificial version of James Earl Jones' voice, was in Ukraine. In fact, the story was kind of horrific because it talked about the programmers, you know, huddling in the basement while Kiev was being bombarded and still working because they were on deadline to get it out. I mean, this is a story that is not over. This is one of those stories that did have legs. Absolutely.
I think the internet angle to it so much is Zelensky and his use of the internet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To speak to the world, to lead his country, to keep everybody together. I think that if there were no internet, or if there were no internet there, it would have been very different.
And showed us pictures of the horrors. I mean, like we saw like in real time what was going on. It's just hard to discount that.
Zelensky, by the way, Time Magazine named as Person of the Year just this week. And I think rightly so. Quite a leader. It, you know, it just shows you sometimes you elect somebody who with a TV background, it's a good thing. He clearly knows how to work in the media. He was a comedian who played in a Ukrainian comedy TV show, the president of Ukraine, and I guess did it so well that he got elected as actual president.
He got elected. I think he's also the shortest world leader since Napoleon, but I may be wrong about
how
that.
How tall is he, do we know?
He's shorter than anybody's width. I don't know how tall that is.
Yeah, but, he does seem to be the head below. Although I have to say, Lisa and I visited in the Elysee Palace with President Sarkozy, and he was wearing lifts and still didn't go up to our shoulders. So he may not be the all-time smallest.
We have to square those two guys up and see who
wins. Put them head-to-head, back-to-back. you know what? He's small in stature. He's huge.
He's huge otherwise.
Huge, for his
people. He was in their Dancing with the Stars thing, too. He was like he's a dancer.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah.
The hacker collective Anonymous, this was in a day after the invasion, declared cyber war against Russia. They disabled a state news site. But, Steve, I think that was it. I think I don't remember reading a lot more about that.
I think one of the interesting consequences of this were the sanctions that were levied against Russia, and then their subsequent inability to get cyber currency transferred into them, which caused all kinds of problems for their traditional ransomware operations.
You remember that ICANN was asked to revoke the .ru Russian internet TLD and other Russian domains and said, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. And that was the right thing to do, I think.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see.
Well, it's interesting, Leo. It's like one thing I'm learning on Mastodon. Everything I know you.
You're learning something on Mastodon
because you taught me everything I know. is that reflex to ban is really interesting to watch. Like that, there's somebody bad on that server. You must ban that entire server. Versus no, let people have the choice of whom they choose to ban. And you see that kind of geopolitics play out at a tiny federated level. It's just fascinating.
That's kind of a good point. I didn't even think of that. I get always many reports every day as an administrator of our own Mastodon instance.
I meant to apologize about that.
They say, please suspend Paul Theriault. Please just get rid of him. No, they don't say that.
Or I'm going to
suspend all Elon Musk jokes, basically.
No, but they do. I do see that. And in most cases, I say, you know, you should ban them from your feed.
Right.
But they're not committing a crime that would cause them to be banned from the Fediverse.
And didn't we just hear that the Senate passed unanimously to ban TikTok?
By voice vote. Acclamation.
Unanimous. You need Ant here for the moral panic banner.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get to that, actually. That'll be in our in memoriam section. No. We will get to that. I'll give you a rundown of what we're going to talk about. We started with Ukraine. We'll be talking about the crypto crash. These are what I kind of, going through all of our old shows, thought these were the stories that kind of, as a whole, had an important, Steve's hiding his face. He doesn't want to talk about that. Acquisitions. There were quite a few. Some made it, some didn't. The metaverse, Twitter and Musk. Yeah, we have to. Apple, the tech worker revolt. We will talk a little bit about hacking. We'll talk a little bit about the social. That's where we'll talk about TikTok. Pass keys, the streaming wars, the AI revolution, science. And then we'll go through a list of some of the people who we lost this year. We're going to cover.
Will you be serving dinner?
And yeah, no, it's not going to be that long. I'm gonna move this along. I promise. Actually, I was going to ask you, Steve, because talking about Ukraine, one of the things I think everybody feared, certainly I did, was a Russian cyber war against the West.
Right.
That didn't seem to happen.
No, not against us. Although Ukraine has been having huge problems. Across their border, not surprisingly, although it's been tit for tat, they've also been, attacking in Russia as well. So to me, this one of the really weird things is how differently we regard warfare, cyber versus conventional. I mean, it's almost like cyber is allowed to go on underneath the cover, but because no one immediately dies when something explodes, it's like, well, okay, we're going to, get back at them. It's just this weird, dichotomy we have at this point.
How are the Ukrainians doing at cyber, Steve, at both defense and
offense? They're holding their own. It's really remarkable, I think. And, they're under attack. You can't really defend against DDoS attacks. So they're being DDoSed and ransomware attacks. So there's a lot of back and forth across the border, but it seems that they're giving as good as they're getting.
And to some degree, I think Russia is maybe waging a proxy war against the West by countenancing all the ransomware groups within its borders.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they're kind of tacitly saying, yeah, you go ahead and attack American companies. But it's interesting that both the U.S. and Russia are acting about cyber warfare somewhat like they would be acting like nuclear warfare, because the potential for mutually assured destruction is significant.
Well, it isn't Russia like attacking the U.S. or the West in cyber ways kind of all the time anyway? To some degree?
As a government, the GRU, yeah, of course, yeah, and the Internet, so-called Internet Research Agency that was the Russian bots that were using Twitter for misinformation and trolling, to that degree. But what I was thinking more is like taking down the grid, attacking some of our weak spots.
That's terrorism.
Yeah, financial system. Honestly, I'm not sure, but I feel like we are somewhat vulnerable in those critical areas, but what protects us is the fear that we would do it back.
Right. Mm. I think that it must be the case that we, both sides, are deeply penetrated into each other's networks. And so it's, as you say, let's, you know, just leave well enough alone and let's go, you know, look at Ukraine instead.
Yeah. Some have said there should be a Geneva Convention for cyber warfare to make some stuff off limits, as we have done with, for instance, chemical weapons. Doesn't mean you wouldn't have things happening. Electronic Arts, in other reactions, scrubbed the Russian soccer teams from its FIFA and hockey games.
Jeez, 'cause that's what's wrong with FIFA.
Really? Really? Yeah, it cracks me up to watch the Olympics and other sports and see people, you know, who are clearly, it's the Russian team, but they're not allowed to play under the Russian flag. So they're under the IOC flag, but it's the, come on. It's a thin
veil.
Yeah.
You know what though? That probably works pretty well against Putin, right? That's basically a way to embarrass that country on a world stage without doing anything violent, right?
Good point. Yeah.
That probably gets under his skin.
White House took this occasion, the war in Ukraine, to brief TikTok stars. It's so funny how at the beginning of the year it was like, tell all the TikTokers about this. And then at the end of the year, it's like, let's ban all the TikTokers about this. TikTokers literally were invited into the White House. It wasn't just for this. So here's a TikToker. Yep. The White House invited me and other creators to talk about the Ukraine.
Decades in journalism. But no, this guy definitely gets to go to the White House.
Well,
no problem.
Yeah, so I had mixed feelings about it, too. That's right. Oh, it's like, well, they'll be easy to persuade, right? Because they don't have the built-in calluses that a journalist might have. On the other hand, this is who kids listen to these days. Yes?
Maybe Captain Crunch and Tony the Tiger could go next, and then...
Oh, my. Grumpy.
See, you said I wasn't old enough.
Yeah, no, you're definitely in there. You've earned your stripes. Finally, it was also an occasion for the tech industry to gather and raise money for Ukraine relief. Fortnite had a 2-week fundraiser within the game, raised $144 million.
Imagine how much they could have raised if they were on iOS.
we often kind of look down our nose at gamers, but I have to say, when it comes to charity, I don't think
Paul, not you.
No, Paul loves the gamers. And as long as they're playing Call of Duty and they're not teabagging him anyway. He loves some of the game, but no, we often badmouth him. But really, when it comes to charity events like this, gamers have stepped up every single time. It's really kind of impressive. The game raised $36 million in its first day alone. The final total, $144 million, going to several aid groups, including Direct Relief, the UN High Commissioners for Refugees, the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, and the World Food Program. League of Legends, Riot Games raised $5.5 million. Humble Bundle, $20 million. Games on itch.io, $6 million. How much did Twit raise for Ukraine relief? Not a penny. So there. All right. That's the war in Ukraine seen in hindsight. What is amazing is, it's still going on. In fact, I saw on PolitiFact, they actually had a post to saying, no, the war in Ukraine is not over. We fact checked it. Yeah. In fact, it's escalated at this point. Russia is showing nuclear missiles being loaded into silos. As a way of kind of saber rattling.
Cutting off all the power and water is escalation.
No kidding.
Away from the population.
No kidding.
It's terrorism.
So that war is absolutely going. Yeah, ironically, Russia's claiming that attacks on its bases are terrorism. I don't think so. It's called war. our sympathies to people in Ukraine still suffering. It has been a long year and looks to continue on. We're going to take a little break and see, I'm moving us along. It's going to be over fast.
Just like COVID.
It'll be gone by April. Don't worry.
We won that one. Steve, I don't know about the Ukraine, but we got COVID.
I think you need to give your costume
new mutant
to Paul.
Strains.
He's being the Grinch.
The Grinch.
Very well.
Here's the deal. Paul doesn't need a costume to be the Grinch. He's got it down. I love it.
I'll calm down.
Paul, no, please don't. That's what we look
keep
for.
Keep it going.
That's what we look for. Yeah, Paul.
I'm usually the grumpy one.
Jeff's happy not to be the grumpy one.
Yeah.
Steve Gibson. And, of course, Doc Searle's a great team of grumpy old men on the show today, our holiday special. Our show today brought to you by 8 Sleep. Lisa, I can say this. I mean, we slept very well last night, didn't we? It was cozy. It was warm. It was literally freezing outside. But we were just gently cosseted to sleep by our 8 Sleep pod. 8 Sleep sells a mattress and they sell a pod. We like our mattress, so we got the pod, which is just like a mattress cover. But it does an amazing thing. It fits like a fitted sheet onto your mattress and then dynamically and cools and heats each side of the bed. And so Lisa likes it pretty hot. She even sometimes says, I'm turning it up to 10, which is basically volcanic. I don't like it quite so hot. I don't have to worry. With the pod, you can sleep as cool as 55 degrees or as hot as 110 degrees. And you might say, well, that's nice, you know, I guess in the summer and winter. But it's more than complicated than that. In fact, the sleep doctor built into your pod cover will notice the room temperature, will notice you and what sleep level you're at, and help ease you into a deeper sleep. That's what's really cool about this. It's one of the things that really the magical things about the 8 Sleep pod cover. So I often start kind of toasty warm because it's cold and I get in bed. And then as I fall into a deeper sleep, it eases me. And your body does this. As it gets cooler, your sleep gets deeper. And then in the morning, I have it set to wake me up by slowly raising the temperature. You don't want to raise it too much because then you never get out of bed. It's just too damn cozy. I love it. For the summertime, it was when we had those hot days. We've had ours for a year now, so we've been through all four seasons. It cools you down. You don't have to turn on the air conditioning at night. You don't have to turn on the heat at night because you're taken care of by your 8 Sleep. And that deep sleep makes such a difference. You can be more confident. Your mind and body are moving through those restorative sleep changes, which make such a big difference for physical recovery, but also for mental clarity and hormone regulation. Listen, it's not a holiday miracle, but it does sound like one. If better sleep is on your wish list, and Santa didn't put a pod beneath the tree this year, look no farther than the new Pod 3. This is what you want. Go to 8sleep.com/twit. Please do use that address, 8sleep, EIGHTSLEEP.com/twit. They have exclusive holiday savings right now. It's one of those things that probably nobody gave you that for the, you know, holiday season, but you can give yourself, and it's a gift for everybody. I tell you, it's wonderful. 8 Sleep currently ships within the U.S., Canada, the U.K., select countries in the EU and Australia. Even our kitties will love the 8 Sleep. They will snuggle in because the bed's warm. They go, oh, I found it. You can ring in the most wonderful time of the night. 8sleep.com/twit. Yeah, you're in Australia. It's getting hot right now, right? You will love the cool temperature. It's just so good to get in a nice, cool bed. So it doesn't do just one. In fact, even in a single night, it will cycle through a variety of temperatures. You get to set it, then the sleep doctor will adjust it as necessary if you let it. This special deal, good through December 31st. If you're listening in the new year, and you may well be, same URL, 8sleep.com/twit. Check out the pod cover. We've got a great $150 offer at checkout. That's the normal offer. Either way, you're going to save big when you go to 8sleep.com/twit. This really is the thing to get, I have to tell you. In fact, we love it so much that when we go on vacation, we're sleeping on those cold hotel beds. They're supposed to be nice, right? We go, I miss my 8 Sleep. On we go with our holiday special. Thanks so much to these fellas for coming and being with us. Kind of a little extracurricular activity. The other thing that really went through some changes in 2022 was crypto. At the beginning of the year, we had the Bored Ape NFTs. We had the Moonbirds, Kevin Rose's Moonbirds, $50 million in sales. Crypto riding high by the end of the year, more than
what was Bitcoin at the beginning of the year? What was the price?
Let me think, because it was starting to drop already, I think, in January Yeah, here's the story from Ars Technica. Bitcoin drops to six-month low in, this was January 23rd of the year, but let's see what it was, $35,000. Of course, its high was $60,000. It's now below 30. It has continued to come down, of course. But that wasn't the only crypto story. I mean, there were a lot of stories this year. I think it's safe to say the shine went off the rose on NFTs. Wall Street Journal reporting NFT sales are flatlining, which is bad because if you own an NFT, you bought it with the notion that its value would be going up because that's all you got. Anybody got any NFTs in
there? Well, Leo, now that Trump made his big announcement today, I think we're all going to be buying NFTs.
$99 digital baseball cards of
trading
Donald.
Cards, yes. Yeah.
But they're just digital.
Yeah.
Somebody's saying, though, and I don't know if this is true, that this kind of skirts the FEC regulations because he's selling something. So it's not a campaign contribution, right? CollectTrumpCards.com. Major announcement. This is from Truth Social. Another thing that started this year. My official Donald Trump digital trading card collection is here. These limited edition cards feature amazing art of my life and career. Collect all of your favorite Trump digital trading cards. Very much like a baseball card, but hopefully much more exciting. Well, there's one difference, Donald. There is no card. They're digital. 99.
Go to the legal stuff. It says right out that NFTs have no value.
Oh, that's interesting. So they don't pretend.
No.
So it's a contribution, but it's not it's not like a political contribution that the FTC might say, well, you can't, it's limited. Do you think this is the next big thing?
Does it say how you buy one, or do you just say I've bought one and now I have one?
No, you have to give Donald $99.
Oh yeah, okay,
you can't just be. Yeah. Can't just be.
Well, you also get entered into sweepstakes for all kinds of things, like golfing with Donald. The site is hilarious.
What is it?
Collect. The images are amazing.
What is the site? Collect Trump Card.
Let me find it. I should. I'm sorry.
I had it up on the screen. I apologize.
This website.
Here it is. CollectTrumpCards.com. And I like some of the images, too. I think
makes them look quite skinny.
Did you see the announcement video?
No.
Oh, no. Video? Announcement. Oh, no. Is it there? Is that the one?
Should I play
on
it?
The site?
The site is... oh, there it is. Look at this.
It's short.
Let's watch together.
Oh, my
Will
God.
Trump take you down?
Yeah. Oh, he's got laser eyesight in front of Trump Tower.
This is Donald Trump. Hopefully your favorite president of all time, better than Lincoln. Better than Washington.
He's bringing them all out.
An announcement to make. I'm doing my first official Donald J. Trump NFT collection right here and right now. They're called Trump Digital Trading Cards. These cards feature some of the really incredible artwork pertaining to my life and my career. It's
classic.
Been very exciting. You can collect your Trump digital cards just like a baseball card or other collectibles. Here's one of the best
cards.
Card comes with an automatic chance to win amazing prizes like dinner with me. I don't know if that's an amazing prize, but it's what we have. Or golf with you and a group of
two
your friends
scoops of ice cream.
At one of my
you get to have
beautiful
Trump
golf
steaks.
Courses, and they are beautiful. I'm also doing Zoom calls, a one-on-one meeting, autographed memorabilia.
If I have psychic so capabilities, if you want to know your future.
Was he autographing a Samsung
this
tablet
is not,
there?
This is not the Onion.
This is
not the Onion.
This is not fake.
Buy one and you will join a very exclusive
It's almost like
community.
He needs money.
It's my community. And I think it's something you're going to
Oh, did
like
I say immunity? I meant community.
They also make perfect gifts.
This is immunity.
So
it is his immunity.
You know, card
last year I gave a family member who
is really
a fan.
It's really hard to believe it's real.
It is. It's what a world.
If, it is,
if,
so, it's
5 years
hard
ago,
to believe.
If you'd seen this, you would have said, oh, yeah, that's the Onion. That's cute. That's funny. The whole NFT thing to me is a little hard to believe. At one point, Seth Green was very upset. Because somebody stole his Bored Ape.
Right.
which, you know, the Bored Ape is, again, not physical. It's just it's a URL, basically. Seth Green had designed an entire TV show around his Bored Ape collection. And it was was upset because he thinks the TV show would no longer be able to go forward because somebody stole the rights to Fred Simeon. Well, now looking back, we can tell you there is a happy ending. Seth Green's Bored Ape was eventually, a month or two later, returned to Seth.
What, did the police raid?
No, somebody? Seth bought it back for $297,000.
Schmuck.
Yeah. Aye. Yeah. Yeah, $100,000 more than he paid for it in the first place. That, you know what? You know who makes money on NFTs? That guy who stole it. That's who makes money on it. Darkwing. What else happened? Let's see. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen called crypto transformative. This was back in April.
It's true.
Right on the leading edge of this one.
back, she might regret that today, but, you know, transformative.
Actually, Matt Damon told me they were great.
Yeah. I saw the ad, and I bought more. The entire, by May, $200 billion have been erased from the crypto market in a single day. Here's a quote to counter Janet Yellen's quote from the president of the ECB, European Community Bank. Crypto is worth nothing and should be regulated.
Like everything else in life.
He's nothing.
Nothing.
He's nothing.
Why regulate it?
Christine Lagarde says it is nothing. Well, because people who have no understanding of the risks who will lose it all and who will be terribly disappointed.
Why did we slip into an avant-garde film here?
But it is the president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, en garde. She's probably closer to the truth than Janet Yellen. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z, we mentioned this year, is, quote, giving back to the community he grew up in with a Bitcoin Academy. He's teaming up with Jack Dorsey to teach residents of the public housing projects about crypto. I hope he taught them
than the lottery. Yeah, I find the lottery to be immoral. This is 10 times worse. Yeah.
Maybe Elon will buy it later.
At least you have a risk of winning with their lottery.
That's a good point. That's a good point. There's a slight, very slight risk of winning, but there is, you know, there's a chance. The good news for people who needed graphics processors for their PCs, the collapse of Bitcoin freed up a lot of GPUs to be sold on the market. And then the real nail in the coffin was actually one of the most important things that happened to crypto.
Well, it reduced the rate of global warming.
Exactly. Ethereum shifted from proof of work to proof of stake in something they called the merge. We were watching this in September with interest because it could have gone horribly wrong, but I think they did everything right. It happened. It worked. Nobody, you know, there were people threatening forks and so forth, but as far as I can tell, Ethereum survived. And that was good for global warming, that's for sure. Not so good for El Salvador, which changed its currency from the dollar to the Bitcoin and now can't pay its debts. And, of course, the celebrities who endorsed FTX. Now, FTX is a whole nother story. Do you think that FTX should be conflated with crypto? In fact, I saw a senator... No. Clearly in the pocket of the big crypto just yesterday say, don't confuse crypto and blockchain with FTX. Crypto is better than ever. Yes.
Well, it's clearly a fraud case. I mean, it's unambiguously a fraud case.
He's going to jail. He's in Bahamian prison.
Everything I've read about it shows it's just a fraud guy, you know, who happened to use this scam.
So that's exactly what this member of Congress was saying is, you know, there's fraud here, but that doesn't mean that something's wrong with crypto. I would submit, though, that crypto enabled it, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you're going to play a shell game, play a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Sam Bankman.
Well, crypto's biggest problem is that it's about money. Right? I mean, anytime you're doing anything with money, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have bad guys. You're going to have crooks who want it.
Yep. If they just said,
we haven't figured out how to write software that works correctly. So when you combine buggy software, you get buggy money.
Yeah.
And so now, God help you.
If we had just said, hey, it's a distributed decentralized database system to replace MongoDB.
No problem.
No problem.
And no interest.
Exactly.
Yeah, and no money.
In the old days, you would go to a bank to rob it because that's where the money was. Now you go where the stupid money is.
Yeah.
Just in crypto.
Yeah.
Or NFTs, or, you know.
Back in April, we had this story. Bored Apes Go Hollywood with Coinbase-produced movie trilogy. I'm thinking that might be on hold. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bored Ape Yacht Club will be a movie, we think. Well, maybe it happened. They said it was going to premiere at NFT.NYC in June. And oh, by the way, Bored Ape owners were invited to submit their apes for consideration as characters in the trilogy. I guess this in some ways relates to the metaverse, because it's kind of what it really is this. And I think young people say, well, you know, you're so stuck in reality, like the physical reality, man, you know.
Rube.
You Rube.
Yeah,
imaginary stuff can be true. Right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did you ever buy an NFT?
No.
See, well, we found the mark. Leo, one of the
games
on my on our show is to get Leo to buy something. Right? We always Leo will buy anything. This is the thing. Leo won't buy.
You found it.
Yeah.
I have crypto, but I didn't buy any crypto. It was gifted.
You lost it.
Yeah. Well, that lost is such a big word. I have it. I just can't access it. Think of it as in a 20-year CD.
It's buried so deep on the blockchain, Leo, you'll never get it.
Except you will get the money in the CD.
Bored Ape Metaverse Frenzy Raises Millions. This story from Bloomberg last spring. Users scramble for NFT deeds to 55,000 plots of virtual land. Prices soar in secondary market. Of course, the side effect of this, which kind of cheesed some people off, was gas fees went up to hundreds of dollars. The cost of minting the Ethereum. Each other deed, by the way, they call them the other deed NFTs. Each one required $6,000 in transaction fees to mint.
You know, we had a deal for a while where you could buy a star, right? What happened with that? That seemed like
same idea.
One guy made it up.
Same
idea. There it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a plot of land on the moon.
On the moon.
You know,
yeah.
At least that exists. Yeah. And you could see it.
Well, as long as it wasn't on the dark side. Those went cheap, though. So
that's true.
Yeah, those weren't expensive.
It was cold.
This was a year that there were some big acquisitions, the biggest of the year, Microsoft's deal to buy Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. I think, Paul, the biggest deal Microsoft ever made. LinkedIn was half that, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, assuming they make it.
Well,
I guess we'll see what happens.
And that's the other side of that story. That acquisition is hanging fire, at least till August of next year, when because of the FTC putting a hold on it, and the administrative judge will rule in August of next year. That's the soonest it can happen. That I'd forgotten that happened early. That happened in January of this year. The announcement.
Right. The announcement.
Yeah.
January. Yeah. Was it January?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Early.
I have January 18th. Microsoft set to purchase Activision Blizzard. Industry's shaking purchase.
Yep.
And would you say, Paul, at this point, not going to happen?
I actually still think it's going to happen. I'm kind of holding out hope, if that's the right word, that they will somehow settle this in the interim. I don't know what anyone else thinks about this, if anyone else thinks about this at all, but I don't see any serious anti-competitive issues here. I'm not really sure what the problem is.
Well, you and Lena Khan do not agree on that. In fact,
no, we do not.
The FTC says we don't do consent decrees anymore. So the FTC is signaling, no, this you're not getting out of this one with a consent decree. Microsoft did offer just the other day. They said, look, we'll pledge never to lock Sony out of Call of Duty. Is that what's bothering you? Well, promise, never.
Yep.
And still they went ahead. There were other big acquisitions, which did go through, I think. Did Amazon bought Roomba for $1.7 billion.
Was that the next one down? Yeah. We went from $69 billion.
No, there's some other. There's actually. Roomba. I'm not going in the order. That's actually the smallest one. AppLovin is. I don't think this happened. AppLovin offered to buy Unity for $17.5 billion in stock. And I'm guessing that Unity said, you know, we don't want that much AppLovin stock, but thanks anyway.
I hate to say I don't know either one of those.
Oh, yeah. Unity you do know because many, many games, all the iOS games
are
written in Unity. Yeah, but if you played even a casual game, chances are Unity was behind it.
Doc, have you always, in the tech world, because I'm not either, do you always feel kind of left out because of that?
A little, well, just stupid.
No.
It's different.
No.
I just, duh. But I admit it. I just say, hey, wait, why don't I just say, that's a twofer. I don't know either one of those guys. $17.9 billion. Cool.
I don't think it happened, though, actually. I'll have to look that up. Yeah. I should have followed up. That was back in August. Adobe, this one I think will happen, bought Figma for $20 billion. Figma is an online graphic design tool. It was said that Adobe did this defensively. And everybody agreed that's way more than it's worth. But, of course, the big deal, the one who really overpaid, Elon Musk.
Yes.
You
can't touch that.
$4 billion to buy Twitter, basically to buy his personal posting site, basically.
There it is. Yeah.
Right?
He can now be the biggest troll in the world.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He is already. Yep.
He is that.
Didn't take long.
Having fun with it.
That began in April. Actually, we found out later it actually began in January that Musk secretly started buying up Twitter, probably in violation of SEC rules because he ended up with a 9.2% stake, never reported it until April of this year. It's funny, the protocol calls it a passive stake. not so passive, as it turns out. Remember that Elon demanded a seat on the board, then didn't want it, and then didn't want to buy it.
This is like a Mexican soap opera.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Yeah. It's a novella.
Make any sense.
Yeah,
it's a telenovela.
But without the good-looking girls. I mean, the Mexican soap opera always had these amazing-looking women.
Even this Grimes. Even Grimes moved back to Canada and said, I can't deal. No.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's going to be so fun to see what happens with this.
It's a circus.
Yeah. It's absolutely insane. And if everybody doesn't know about TwitterIsGoingGreat.com, that's your one-stop shopping for the latest timeline. TwitterIsGoingGreat.com. It's great.
It is fabulous. And it's funny because the way I was going to do this, you actually scooped me. I was going to read all the headlines, and then I was going to say, forget it. Just go to TwitterIsGoingGreat.com. You'll get the latest. Because, listen, it starts with Elon Musk buys 9.2% stake. Then Elon wants to buy out Twitter. That was in April. Then Elon might be just what Twitter needs, says The Atlantic. Then Elon says his deal is off. It can't happen until the bot account is on hold, not off. That came later. Until the bot account dispute is resolved. Then, in July, Elon's out. The Bloomberg headline, Elon's out. Musk lost interest in pretending to buy Twitter. Then, shortly after that, Twitter is going to sue Elon because they want his $44 billion. Then we started to see the texts come out of all the people like Larry Ellison saying, how much do you need, Elon? A billion? Elon says, can you give me two? He says, yeah, sure, two. No problem. All of that came out. And then the day before, more were going to come out and Elon was going to be deposed. He said, all right, fine. I'll buy it. We are not going to spend the rest of the show then going into what happened. We're going to refer you to Steve's site. Twitter is going great.
Does it have the auction on there? I'm getting ready to buy a Heroes machine from them.
Oh, yeah, Joe. So this is the thing we're going to look forward to next year. is January 17th. You only get 24 hours to bid, so it's going to be fast and furious. Father Robert suggested we do a live 24-hour stream of the Twitter office auction.
The Axios story has the link.
Yeah, I have it too. Yeah. I don't know if the site Heritage Auction has the catalog. I guess it does. Heritage Global Partners. Bidding has not started. Everything looked so attractive at $25 and $50, but honestly, that's just the opening.
If you go to the beginning, I put it in the chat. Leo, you need to compete for the bird.
Well, look at this one. I didn't see this one. The neon Twitter bird light electrical display. Nice. Put that in the office, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Lisa.
Opening bid, $50, honey. Look what I got us for Christmas, the Lotta Eames chairs. One of the things that you got out of this is how comfy it was. Yesterday, we had the first engineer to be fired at Twitter, Manu Cornett, on the Twig. And he said, yeah, it was pretty nice. It was a pretty comfy place. We were well taken care of. It was a fun place to work. I really liked the people. He was only there a year and a half.
It's a gallery view, Leo.
Where's the gallery view? Where is
it? I put it in the chat. Put it in the chat.
Okay, let me go to the chat.
So you can get, lots and lots and lots of chairs where sweaty geeks have sat.
They look like they're in pretty good shape.
Lots of espresso machines.
What are people sitting on now? Are they like bales of hay or what?
Not Eames chairs, apparently. Those like are right
Tesla
out.
Tesla chairs that never got into cars.
They're going to get IKEA to come in and...
I think he got rid of all the Allen nice stuff. Yeah, he's nice going to go the Bezos route and make it out of doors and sawhorses, I guess. But... Okay. They had these. Remember those, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those you sat big. In them once.
Those are big in the 60s. Yeah, they're these kind of wicker.
Listen to Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah. They're wicker chairs hanging from a stand.
They have the round ones, the round wicker things with the cushion in it.
I wanted these.
Get into and you can't get out of.
Espresso machines. I thought.
Espresso machines are quite I want you those. Should get that for Ant for next year.
I didn't know. Oh, now you're talking. Look, I want to see the espresso.
La
what are they asking for the espresso machine?
These are good. Well, see, the problem is you don't know what it's going to go for. But I figure there's so much stuff. It's a 24-hour auction, and there's so much stuff, and you can open it at $25. These are very good. These are
commercial. I want one of those.
But these are ones you have to wire into the wall. You did that, didn't you, Steve? You had it plumbed?
Yeah, it's plumbed into the sink and water supply.
Do you ever use that? Yeah.
No, it died.
He prefers to go to Starbucks.
Bunch of espresso machines because I live in a bunch of places. I love those things. And the La Marosca is the best.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe then, Doc, I could interest you in a manual flywheel slicer with stand.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't ever hurt yourself because you have to crank it.
Oh, yeah. You just slice those little bits of your fingers one after the other.
Why would you have a manual? Why would they have a manual slicer? They've got plenty of electric ones. I don't.
This is, why put your nose to the grindstone when you just slice it off?
Pizza ovens.
Pizza ovens. They got good pizza
good
ovens.
Good pizza ovens. Oh, refrigerators.
You mean, and Twitter was never profitable? Is that what you're saying?
Well, in some ways, this is making Elon's case. In fact, I think that's why he's doing this is look what these guys were spending money on when they had one profitable quarter in 17 years.
He's only annoyed because it wasn't his idea.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He did fire the caterers, the people who made the lunches. So this is all kitchen equipment. There's no longer.
There are tons of jam.
Why does anybody want to work at Twitter now? I mean, really, why would you want to
not be deported?
Well, yeah. One of the things Manu said is a lot of the people who are still there are H-1B visa holders. So if they leave, they get kicked out.
Oh, yeah.
And then others are there because they either need the money or don't want to go through a gap or they need the health insurance. And that's one problem in this country.
You're trapped.
You're trapped. And
so they're just indentured.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are people there because they are fans of Elon and they're excited about what Elon might be doing with Twitter and the future of Twitter. I'm sure there's many. Although Manu made a really interesting point yesterday. He said the problem with the way they fired people was they might well have fired many of the Elon fans. Because they didn't.
Yeah.
He said you should have done the loyalty test first and then fired people who didn't pass.
Is Manu the one who does the cartoons?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, they're so good.
Aren't they?
They're so good.
It's a delightful twig yesterday. Unfortunately, I wasn't there because I couldn't be, but it's a wonderful discussion.
Twittoons.com for his Twitter tunes. And he was at Google for, I think, 15 years and has Googtoons as well, or Googtoons, something like that. He has a book, too. But, yeah, these are hysterical. He said that he did give Elon one of these. Let me show you the one. He printed up and gave it to Elon. And I said, well, what did Elon say? He said, well, not much. This is the one he gave to Elon.
Should have given him an NFT.
Yeah, why are you giving him the actual artwork?
Why waste the real thing when you give him an NFT?
So the cartoon, Elon's in a shop that has a lot of ceramic logos for all the big tech companies, Disney and Google and Meta and Snapchat. And unfortunately, the one for Twitter has fallen on the floor and smashed. The shop owner says, you break it, you buy it. And did you hear, Jeff, that he says this was inspired by Stacey?
By Stacey, yes.
Wow. Our own Stacey Higginbotham said that on one of the shows. You break it, you buy it, wow. Elon. And Manu said, oh, that'd make a good cartoon. So this is the one he gave Elon and right before he was fired. He is suing, by the way, because he was fired for cause without a cause being given. You can't. California is a very employee-forward state. Not
cartoons as cause. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Manu
the defense
thinks,
would like to submit this picture that he gave me as evidence.
He thinks it wasn't. The cartoon was early on. He said, I thought it was funny that he brought the sink in and said, let that sink in and all that. And so he gave him the cartoon in the spirit of fun. But he thinks he got fired because he wrote a little script that went into your email and quickly gathered all your performance reviews, all the things you might need for a future job, and saved him out. And he think he got fired an hour and a half after he put that up on the Slack, company Slack. So he thinks that's why. But he doesn't know. And the law does require you have, if you fire somebody for cause, you have a cause. That has to be a reason. I mean, we are an at-will state, but if they're going to say for cause, they got to give the cause. Let's see, one more and then we'll take a break. The metaverse, there's not that much to say except that Mark Zuckerberg and Meta lost a lot of money in 2022.
Best news of 2022, anybody?
wasn't all good news for Microsoft either. Microsoft's Army HoloLens deal, it continues, right, Paul? But
They just released a HoloLens 2 momentum post today, Leo.
Oh, and do they have momentum?
No, there's no momentum. It's I guess backwards momentum is still momentum.
This was the year that we saw stories that said Microsoft was killing HoloLens 3, that Microsoft's HoloLens goggles left U.S. soldiers with nausea and headaches.
Right. Just enough distortion to get picked off in the battlefield.
I'll tell you what, you run into battle wearing that.
Snipers can aim for that.
It's not so threatening, honestly. Yep. Yeah. You look like a spaceman. Maybe that's why.
As long as they only want to target humans, then you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like a bug or something. Plus, your field of vision, everything is limited. It seems like this is not something you'd want to wear into battle. In any event, the Pentagon, I think, is moving forward with that purchase. What was it for? It was billions of dollars, wasn't it?
It looks like that Dyson headset thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dyson headphones that purify.
It's literally just an air fryer. I don't know what. I'm not sure what it does, but.
It's a headset. It's a vacuum cleaner.
It's a headset.
It'll clean your ears out, too.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg, they fired, we talked a lot about the 3,000 or 4,000 people fired at Twitter, but that week, Meta fired 11,000 people. Zuckerberg told his all-hands meeting, told his employees to prepare for a very intense future.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Total war, baby.
As Alex Stamos told us, Zuck is, I think he even kind of confirmed it, that Zuck is just happy about everything that Musk is doing because it makes him look so good now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention to Meta at all.
No, right. No, no.
Although Meta, you know, by February had lost $251 billion in value. I think it ended up being $800 billion by the end of the year, the biggest wipeout of value in history. And a lot of it because Mark just said, you know what? Social's not our future. The metaverse is our future, and we're going to commit to that. And $10 billion a year. And what do you think? Is the metaverse, is that something any of you are excited about and want to be in?
Nope.
I mean, if you have to wear a thing in order to make it work, it's not good.
Well, Elon's trying to solve that by putting... who wants to get in line for Elon's Neuralink?
With social media bottoming out, isn't this one of the most lucrative products on Earth? I mean, why would you say this thing that has made us all this money is no longer our future?
Good point.
I mean, that's crazy.
Good point. Yeah. All right, let's take a little break. We are. I guess this is celebrating.
Before we go, can I just say, I find myself transfixed by Steve, and I feel like I'm getting high or something.
Yes.
Because
he's
slowly gesticulating. Like
it's like a lava lamp.
It's like water, like seagrass or
Steve,
something.
Did you purchase these Grinch mitts for this show, or did you have them lying
next
around?
Day delivery from Amazon, baby.
It's weird. I mean, I know you're into security, but I feel like you have found your calling now.
Like I said, available for bar mitzvahs.
God, I can't stop looking at it.
He is a method actor, right? Yeah. He does not leave the character at all.
No, it's amazing.
You gotta give him points.
Laurence Olivier famously said, "I can't get into a character until I have the costume. I need the costume before I can be the character." Obviously, Steve agrees.
I'm gonna have to put like a blindfold on it.
Well, pay no attention to that man in green because our show today is brought to you by Audible.com. Lisa, has Audible our longest continuous running advertiser? We've been doing that for at least 10 years, haven't we?
Since 2007.
So five? Is that all? It feels like 7 is 15 years. Yeah. Holy cow. I've been a member of Audible since 2000, so I'm in the 22-year group. Audible saved my life with audiobooks when I had a 2-hour commute every day. I don't have a 2-hour commute anymore, thank goodness, but I still listen to audiobooks from Audible all the time. Audio entertainment, it's your right to choose what you hear. You don't just listen to the elevator music. You don't pick an airline for the movies. When it comes to audio entertainment, choose Audible. It's the home for stories told by the biggest stars, Ethan Hawke, Kerry Washington. Lisa and I have both listened to the Kevin Hart audiobooks. He's hysterical. It just comes to life, those audiobooks from Kevin Hart. It's home to epic adventures, chilling mysteries, can't-miss comedies. Let your imagination soar with audiobooks, podcasts, and originals. I just started listening to this audiobook. Somebody recommended it. Maybe it was you, Steve. I don't know. You are not expected to understand this. How 26 lines of code changed the world. It's actually kind of a misnomer because it's a series of essays about code, the code in the Apollo 11 spacecraft. And of course, the title comes from a comment. you are not expected to understand this code. It's kind of fun. Audiobooks from Audible span the gamut of content. I think I have more than 500 audiobooks.
Leo, can I just list the ones I've listened to in the last few weeks?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Yeah. Because you probably consume more than anybody.
I do. All the Frequent Troubles of Our Day is a phenomenal story of resistance in Germany.
Wow.
Misinformation Nation, The Magic Kingdom by Russell Banks, Demon Copperhead, Barbara Kingsolver. The Escape Artist by Jonathan Friedland is another amazing World War II story about Auschwitz. Prisoners of the Castle, Lucy by the Sea. I didn't like that one so much. The Prophet of the Andes by my boss, Graciela Moshkovsky. Mercury Pictures Presents. It's just amazing.
It's kind of depressing because you're listening to so many wonderful audiobooks, so educational. I listen to Fletch. Fletch 1, Fletch 2.
I literally just finished
Fletch
that.
Fletch 3. Fletch 4.
I didn't like the narrator of that one.
I hate the narrator, Dan John Miller. Yeah. You're right. But the audiobooks are so good. You know, that's one of the things people do is they choose the narrator. Steve loves, I know, the Silver Ships, and there are quite a few of those. And the narrator on this, Grover Gardner, is one of my favorite narrators. There's so many wonderful audiobooks. And it's not just novels or nonfiction even. It's performances. It's memoirs. Their Audible Plus Music series is fantastic about how music is made. You can listen to, for instance, I was listening to Alanis Morissette talking about how she wrote her songs and then performing them. It's just wonderful. And of course, I saw all the Expanse novels behind you, Doc Searles, over your right hand shoulder. Yeah. I guess those are your sons. Yeah. Nice. It's nice to have a giant stack. Give me the audiobooks. I'll be honest with you. How do you listen to so many, though, Jeff? Do you do nothing but listen to audiobooks all the time?
Whenever I drive.
Oh, you have
a long actually, I listen to the news. I listen to Howard Stern as well. I listen to some podcasts, but I've got driving to New York is not a short endeavor. And I listen on double speed.
That's
almost as fast as I talk.
Oh, Lisa does the same thing. See, I listen at 1X, but the audio player that Audible provides for every device does let you choose how fast you want to listen.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. To go to one is Bob and Ray time.
People sound drunk. Yeah.
That's funny.
Audible is the home of storytelling. All of your audio entertainment in one app. An incredible selection, of course, of audiobooks across all genres. Bestsellers, new releases, celebrity memoirs, mysteries, thrillers, motivation, wellness. Lisa listens to a lot of business audiobooks from Audible. As an Audible member, you could choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes the latest bestsellers and new releases. You also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks. Audible Originals, I really praise Audible because their Audible Frontiers program, for instance, is recording some of the classics in science fiction that never were made into audiobooks. You know, if you want to listen to the Asimov Foundations series, Audible has them all freshly recorded in their own studios, and they're really fantastic. You also have Get Podcasts. You can download or stream all the included titles, which is great in your Audible membership. All you want, all you can eat. What's great about Audible is no matter where you are, your imagination can run wild. I've always said your brain is much better than any movie studio. That's why when I'm listening to The Expanse, I'm seeing it in a way no TV show could bring to life. I mean, it just really is incredible. Listen about the lives of celebrities, journey to your best self, check out the spider web of true crimes, and discover new worlds, old worlds, and how to make a better world. We are Audible fans here. Look at that, A Christmas Carol with Tim Curry. That would be good. That would be really good. I might have to get that for the holidays. Let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or be entertained. New members can try it free for 30 days. When you go to audible.com/twit, AUDIBLE, audible.com/twit. You could also just go to your phone and text twit to 500-500. audible.com/twit, text twit to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/twit. Thank you, Audible, for 17. Did you say 2015? When did 15 years, 2007. That's amazing.
Thank you, Audible.
Yeah, and we hope they come back next year. Thank you, Audible. Thank you. Audible was with us before Amazon acquired them, and we've been there since the very beginning. Thank you, Audible. All right, moving along. I didn't do company topics so much. But there were some interesting stories about Apple, not the products so much, but Apple became briefly the first company to reach a $3 trillion market cap, which is pretty amazing. This was also the year Google decided to take arms against Apple and the dread green text bubble. This is a campaign to get Apple to adopt RCS. And you know that the minute Apple does, Google's going to say, yeah, we don't want to use that anymore.
Green.
Perfect. The Grinch loves the green bubble. Green. Apple also.
He's being buried in it now.
Yeah, he's very green. Apple launched a laughable do-it-yourself repairs program. You might have seen Micah Sargent's video. He ordered all of the hundreds of dollars worth of gear. You rent it, but if you don't send it back promptly, they will charge you for it. And sadly, they sent all the tools. We had them all laid out. We have a video of it. But they neglected to send the part. He was going to replace a battery. So he called them up and said, hey, the part hasn't come. And they said, no, we want the tools back. So he sent the tools back as the tools are in the car on the way to FedEx, the battery arrives.
Wow.
Anyway.
Did you ever get it installed?
No. No. I think really the message is, yeah, you can do this yourself, but don't. Don't even try.
The law requires that we let you do it. Yeah. And so this is how we're going to respond. Yeah.
Early in the year, we heard that Apple was negotiating to buy the Sunday ticket package from the NFL. In fact, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, even said it will be determined by the fall. It's now end of the year. I think it didn't happen. Or maybe it's going to happen. I don't know.
The fall of what?
Yeah, right. The fall of Rome. there is a little bit of a tussle over what to do with the rights, I think. Google and others are also bidding, or reportedly bidding. So we'll see what happens on that. The biggest story, Apple story of the year, though, happened this week. And two things happened. First, Apple shipped out with iOS 16.2 and macOS 13.1 end-to-end encryption for iCloud backups, which, Steve, you talked about. And you gave it your green thumbs up, yes?
Yeah, it's very much green. It's the real deal. It's not on by default, so users will have to turn it on. But when they do, with some caveats, because, for example, iCloud.com requires a brief breach of that in order for Apple to show you the contents of your iCloud through a website. But if you don't use that and you turn it on, the act of turning it on rotates the crypto keys, and then among your devices, you're on your own. Apple cannot save you if you lose access, so you have to jump through some hoops in order to create some get out of jail free cards. But they finally did it.
Although, of course, one of the things everybody said is, well, how is the federal government, the FBI, how are they going to react? How's the Chinese government going to react? How is England going to react, where it is against the law to not be able to offer plain text of messaging? How is Australia going to react? And that's yet to be seen, because Apple will no longer be able to comply with a lawful request from any government once this is international. Right now it's U.S. only. But I think the real thing that Apple is telling the FBI right now is, don't worry. No one's going to do it, because you have to be upgraded on every device. I tried to turn it on and it got a list of 18 devices, including my watch and my HomePod, that had to be fully upgraded before I could turn this on. So it's my guess people will say, oh, that's great, thank you, Apple, and then never do it. But we'll see. I'm determined to turn it on, but I still have to upgrade a few things. It's just nuts.
All you have to do is sign out of your account.
But then
those
I can't
devices.
Use them. Yeah.
No.
But Leo, do you want to use it or do you want encryption? You seem confused on this.
How much do you really want a blue bubble? That's the question.
All right. Okay, that's good. Steve gave me a way to do it. Just log out of all your devices. No problem.
Not a problem.
You'll never be able to listen to music on your HomePods again. But anyway. The other thing Apple announced this week, which is a bit more of a shock, they're going to open... take it back. They did not announce it. Mark Gurman announced it, but that's as good as Apple announcing it.
Yep.
Because he's very rarely wrong. Apple... According to Gurman at Bloomberg, will allow outside app stores on iOS Now, the details remain to be seen, but Gurman's report had so many details down to which executives were working on it and what was going to happen. And the charges are being led by Andreas Wendker, longtime software engineering vice president, who reports to Craig Federighi. Jeff Robin, Apple's top engineering manager, is also involved. They said what Gurman said what they would and wouldn't be doing, et cetera, et cetera. But this is, Paul, you were arguing last week that Apple should be forced to do this. Were you surprised when they did it voluntarily?
You know what? I don't want to get too excited because this is Apple and they're going to figure out a way to kind of weasel around it. But this is inevitable. This is inevitable.
And probably a good thing, although there are some who are worried. Alex Lindsay spent some time arguing against it in MacBreak Weekly, saying it was the end of the world.
The corporate overlords appreciate your support. The dictatorship requires it, frankly, for control. But, I mean, this is it's inevitable.
There is, however, a little bit of a clause that might be some weasel words in which Apple says, of course, in order to allow your app to be sideloaded, we will have to approve it, and there may be a fee.
Right.
So
there may be a fee? This is Apple. There may be a fee?
We'll wait to find out the rest of the
details. How many free things does Apple give it away? what are you talking about?
This is clearly something that the EU is mandating, and Apple knows it's going to have to do. But I think they're going to do only what the law requires.
It will meet the letter of the law, exactly. Yeah, and it will find wiggle room.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Like that zero-day vulnerability may be exploitable. Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out.
It could be. You might have to give us some more money to prevent that. Mm-hmm. Another big story, of course, the revenge of the tech worker. If anything, you could say this year was the year that tech workers finally realized, hey, these companies need us. And we don't need just meat slicing machines and coffee makers. We want more money and better conditions. Google said the average salary of a Google engineer was $300,000. This as part of their plan to convince them they don't need a union. We learned from Vice early this year that Google had a secret project to convince employees that unions suck. Project Vivian, it was called.
Of course.
Apple employees, Starbucks employees, Amazon employees, all unionizing. Amazon bombarding workers with union-busting messages. Apple is under investigation by the National Labor Relations Board for forcing Apple employees to go to anti-union meetings and coercing them not to vote yes on the union. Nevertheless, I feel like, is it fair to say this was the year that the employees stood up and asserted their rights?
Yeah, it wasn't just tech employees. It happened to media too. I think there's been a resurgence of unionization.
How much of this was because people don't want to go back to work? They were very happy working from home.
That's a lot of it. I think that's a lot of it.
Ian Goodfellow, fellow Apple's director of machine learning, left the company, partly because of its requirement that he return to the office.
There's also this whole new thing going on with all the connectivity that we have now, where employees feel that they're on the clock 24/7, you know, constantly. They're having to work virtually really long hours just to in order to hold their job.
Well, Apple built this beautiful spaceship for people
just
to work
for you.
In.
Yeah.
Just for you.
You don't need an office. You want to be out amongst your peers wearing your headphones, keeping your eyes closed, hoping nobody
walking
comes
into those clear glass doors that no one can see.
Guess who said working from home tricked people into thinking they don't need to work hard? He has two thumbs and his name is Elon Musk. Sure. One thing I love about Elon is he's been so willing to have pictures, unflattering pictures taken of him. Every Elon Musk article has a horrible picture of him. Here he is at a white tie gala, the 2022 Met Gala. And of course, if you're going to have a picture of a out of touch billionaire, it's always good to have him in white tie and tails.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Monopoly
Man. Here he is at breakfast at home. This is another day for Elon.
Apple workers at a Maryland store voted to unionize, the first in the U.S. in June. And store workers at Grand Central Terminal started collecting signatures. I agree with you, Jeff. I think this is more than just tech workers. That this is,
I think that's part of it. But I think, yeah, I think work changed this year, these last couple of years. The economic conditions changed. The balance of power changed. There's Democrat in the White House. You know, I think a lot of factors. But yeah. But yes, I still buy the premise of your category here. Is there absolutely, this happened in tech, and even among highly, highly paid people, they still wanted to unionize.
Almost especially because the more skilled you are, the harder it is to find somebody to replace you. So you carry you don't maybe even need a union. You just can. Google workers signed petitions asking Google not to do defense contracting, questioning their AI strategy. Didn't stop Google from firing Timnit Gebru and a few others, Ms. Whitehead. But I think there is this balance, a shift in the balance of power.
People also don't want crap jobs anymore either.
Yeah, you know? I mean, well, that's a problem because we need them to do those crap jobs. I know.
There's a near where I live in Bloomington, Indiana. There's a Sam's Club, which is kind of the Walmart knockoff of Costco, and they have a similar food court inside. And you go in there, there's nobody at the food court. Why is it? Well, we can't hire people. People don't want to work here.
That's universal. It's everywhere.
It's, yeah, and everywhere you go, there's signs saying, you know, we pay better than minimum wage, stuff like that.
But even better than minimum wage often is not enough to, it's not, no, a living, it's not, wage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We have to wonder what else people are doing. Like, I'm just not going to work. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
I can kind of understand it because if you work for $17 an hour and it's still not enough to pay rent and to eat and to take care of health care and family, then you might as well not work. And subside on subsistence on food stamps and whatever you can,
or you can find another job now. Let's not forget that a million people died in the pandemic.
Yeah,
as well, and industries changed.
Unfortunately,
jobs became available in other places.
Most of them were older retired people.
Yeah, well,
so that didn't open up a lot of jobs, I don't think. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's a shift. The other thing that's happening, and it's again, thank you, Elon. Is I think we're realizing billionaires are not somehow inherently better than the rest of us. In many cases, they're worse.
Right. Yeah, because no one says no to a billionaire.
They have they surround themselves with a court of yes men.
Yeah.
It is interesting that Elon Musk had this well-earned reputation for being a brilliant guy and for doing some amazing stuff, you know, and how thoroughly he's trashed it. It's really interesting that he doesn't seem to mind. He seems to revel in it.
Well, we love it too, don't we? I mean, isn't that the whole plot line of Behind the Music? Is like they were on top of the world and then it all came crashing down, and then in Act Three, redemption and return. We love that story. We build people up all the time to knock them down.
But he built himself up.
And he built himself up with merit. I mean, you know, SpaceX and Tesla and Starlink, these are serious achievements. You know, I love watching his rockets take off, the Starlink rockets, where the first stage comes back to Earth and lands on its ass on a 40-foot platform out at sea. That's amazing shit.
Incredible.
Yep. Some people,
amazing stuff. And
I don't know how much of this is revisionist, say, oh, no, it's Gwen Shotwell who runs SpaceX and engineers who succeed despite Elon. We've seen a number of anonymous posts who said, well, you have to understand that both Tesla and SpaceX are very good at managing Elon. They insulate the staff from him because he is
like Pixar and Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he's essentially destructive.
Well, they're big enough to do that.
Well, yeah. It's more than that. They also succeed because people are motivated to stay because they're saving the world, right? And they feel like that what we're doing is making a difference. Nobody at Twitter, well, maybe not nobody, and, but most at Twitter
probably Elon has not sold off their furniture either.
Maybe. I don't know. I think
there's a lot to that, Leon. I mean, I've worked for moguls, Robert Maxwell, the robber baron, and others. And there is a managing the mogul culture that opens up.
Yeah.
There are mogul whisperers. There are people who can understand and talk to the mogul.
Because they want
his
money.
Trying to control the mogul.
But buying in doesn't mean that you are brilliant and you should control the process.
It's also a very clear power structure. I worked at Time Inc., which was a company of task forces. And so you never knew what was going to happen because they'd bring in another task force and they'd
sounds like the federal government.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Versus mogul land. You get a decision, man. It's maybe a bad decision, but you get a decision.
Yeah.
Just like this show, which is not a democracy.
Not a democracy. I keep telling
not
you.
Not a democracy.
But we are going to form a task force to decide what to do with Jeff Jarvis.
I just think that bonds. Elon has had
four guys. You wouldn't be the first.
Right now. And,
what is it you would say that you did here, Jeff? What is?
let me go show you my code, Paul. I'm going to print it out first.
My theory is that Elon is just having fun. You know, we all expect him to act the way we would. And he's not. He's just having fun. You know, he did not want to buy Twitter. They made him buy Twitter. And so it's like, okay, I'm going to do whatever I want to with Twitter that you made me buy. And so, you know, he's not us. I think he's just having fun.
He probably doesn't want to lose all that money. I mean, he's got a significant amount invested. He's got $1 billion.
Well, I would not want to be an investor in Elon's things.
Yeah.
I think those are the losers are the people who, you know, bought in and thought that Tesla would be going up forever. And it's tanking now because of what he's doing over on Twitter.
Yeah, but there's reputational damage. But I think you're right. He's not at risk. I mean, if any one of us could say, oh, no, I got $100 million in the bank, we wouldn't be worried about our, where our next meal was coming from. Certainly, Elon will never be poor. No. Even if he lost every bit of his billions, he'd have something. Right? And so
he'd be the greatest loser this side of Donald Trump.
It's reputational.
You know, he'd be loser, loser.
That's the risk. And I don't know if Elon cares. He got booed for 10 minutes.
I don't think he cares.
He got booed for 10 minutes on stage when Dave Chappelle foolishly invited him up.
That was sad. That was so sad.
Chappelle was doing a performance in San Francisco.
Somebody tried to argue that Chappelle knows audiences better than anybody else, and he did that on purpose. It was a way for him to lord over Musk.
I don't know. It's puzzling that he brought him up. Chappelle is much like Musk in that he does not mind pushing people's buttons. In fact, seems to take pleasure in it. It's funny. He did that night. He did a private show at the Punchline for about 50 people. My daughter was there, and there were a lot of Draymond Green of the Warriors were there. Apparently, Elon was there as well, and she said he did 2 hours and killed. Just Chappelle killed. I'm not a fan, but she thought he was. She'd never seen anything quite like it, and I think maybe that's just part of Chappelle's shtick. He introduced Elon saying, ladies and gentlemen, the richest man in the world. That's guaranteed to get some booze right out of the box.
Yeah.
Right there. Who's going to say yay? Oh, hey, wonderful. The richest man in the world. We love you.
And now he's only number two.
And he's not the richest anymore. Yeah.
Right.
What venue was it in? The
Warriors Arena. What is that called?
It's pretty big.
I forgot. It's about 18,000, I think.
Chase
Center, it's a beautiful arena. It's about, I think it's 18,000, something like that.
By the way, breaking news here. Elon's jet took off from Austin 1 hour ago.
So
you must not have read that on Twitter.
How do you know that? Yeah.
I know that from Elon Jet, which is on Mastodon and virtually every platform you can imagine. It's just a great list of it's everywhere, Elon. And now we all have his tail numbers. We can all go and get the same information. So we all know where Elon is, as if we care.
It's an interesting I guess Streisand effect, right?
Streisand effect, yeah. Elon, soon to be called the Elon effect.
Who said he would never ban the... He hated the account. It was It's a college kid who publishes public data from the ADS-B database. Once you know the tail number for any plane, you can look it up in the database. He has a bot that does it for not just Elon, Jeff Bezos, many, many people. Elon always hated it. Initially said, I'll give you kid. Hey, kid. I imagine him with a big cigar. Kid, I'll give you $5,000 and a horse if you'll take that down. the kid said, Elon retracted it. He didn't. The kid would have taken it. And then he, no, never mind. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just buy Twitter and destroy you. So apparently this week, Elon took down not only that account, but the personal account and all the other accounts and made a new law. Jack Sweeney is the kid's name. The Elon Musk tracker is the name he gives himself. And made a new law on Twitter that this kind of personal doxing is right out, is illegal.
Well, then Elon put up a... So then proving Masnick's theorem, which is that content moderation at scale is impossible, Elon had to make up a rule, right? The rule is, well, you can't dox in these circumstances. Everybody said, well, that circumstance covers every photo ever taken at a concert. Number one.
Right.
Then number two, Elon doxed a guy in a car who was complaining at him, arguing that this was because of Elon Jet. And then Bellingcat, the great investigative journalistic organization, used its data to find out the car was nowhere near an airport. It didn't work. Elon can't win, which is a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, well, and the other weird thing about this is that all you have to do is request that your tail number not be listed in real time, and it will be blanked.
Oh, you're kidding.
But
oh,
you're
kidding.
No,
you can?
It's trivial to do that, and Elon doesn't want to do that. He would rather have this
smartest
controversy.
Smartest man in the world.
Wow.
That's very interesting.
You have to hear the right
don't
side
tell him,
of his
Steve.
Vanity.
So
too much fun.
So Jack has posted a link tree of all the places you can now find Elon Jet's location.
This is beautiful.
Elon Jet Facebook, Elon Jet Instagram, Elon Jet Telegram, Elon Jet on Truth Social, Elon Jet on Mastodon. Oh, by the way, also on Truth Social, Trump Jets. So, wow.
Darn those bots.
It's on Discord.
I got to get this kid into journalism
school.
That
looks like Boeing in Seattle.
Yeah, he's a Florida college student is all I know, Jack Sweeney. And now much more famous than he would have been had Elon not banned him. And this is the problem, isn't it? It's the that's the Streisand effect. Can't do anything about it.
You can start making $300,000 at Google.
Yeah. Or become a journalist for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah,
exactly.
Make the kind of big money we're making here.
He'll still make $300,000. It'll just take him a decade.
Oh, all right. Hacking is the next topic of the year. This was a good year to be a ransomware gang and a bad year to be a ransomware gang. The Reval gang. What's the latest? I can't remember, Steve. Are they down? Are they back? Are they back? Are they down? I can't remember.
They're disbanded, and their code got free, and so they're a bunch of clones now that are doing ransomware based on their code base.
And then there's the Lapsus gang, which hacked Microsoft and Oracle and many others. Turned out to be two 16- and 17-year-old UK teenagers. Who were using social engineering, not particularly hacking, to get into these accounts.
And they don't encrypt. All they do is exfiltrate the data and then threaten to release it publicly, which, you know, often is enough to get them some money.
Because they're teenagers, they're youths.
Do we know who hacked Rackspace? Because I'm a victim of that. I got totally screwed by Rackspace.
Was that Lapsus? I don't know.
I'm on their Exchange server. And,
yeah, we haven't
gone.
Heard.
It's
that was the Exchange hack. We just talked about that this week on Security Now. But that's really Microsoft's fault, right, Steve? Because one of the stories, the ongoing stories of the week, is the many, many, many flaws in Microsoft's email server.
The story of the year has been Exchange server problems. And so Rackspace is now facing three class action lawsuits. Some of them are alleging that it was their fault for not patching and updating their
their hosted instances of Exchange Server. It's 1% of their business. They're a $3 billion company, so they were only making only $30 million from their Exchange Server hosting, which they're now migrating over to Microsoft 365 because they don't want it anymore.
But Rackspace is an Exchange hosting company, too. That doc was on their Exchange Server.
Right. Yeah.
And they're Bit, too. So they're a lot. I mean, anybody with in their right mind outsources their Exchange Server. They don't. Yeah.
I was in their cheaper service, and they said, no, you need the bigger one, the better one. I said, yeah, okay. And then
Doc,
it's gone.
Fastmail. Yeah. Just go to Fastmail, trust me.
Yeah, I know.
How much mail do you do that you need an Exchange Server?
Well, I had over 25 gigabytes in IMAP, and so they said, no, we have a 25-gigabyte limit on this one. We'll give you 100 gigabytes over here. And that was the whole thing it was about. I'm now on Hover, which has a 1 terabyte limit. So,
there you go.
And it's cheaper.
Hover is another sponsor. We like them a lot. Fastmail will be a sponsor going forward.
And that was the big casualty of the Rackspace ransomware attack was a huge number of, exactly like Doc, a ton of small and medium-sized businesses that were outsourcing their email there. And they're saying, Rackspace is saying, we're not sure we're ever going to be able to get that mail back.
Wow. That's terrible.
Yeah. It's really bad. I mean, my entire history is there. And it's bad. I don't want to know yet. I'm going to call them tomorrow morning because you couldn't get through to them at all. But maybe tomorrow morning I can.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So
there is an app, a utility called MailStore Home that I ran across 10 years ago, and I've talked about it on the podcast a number of times. It's a little local archiver which is searchable, and so you can point it at an existing email series of accounts. It'll suck all the contents out and archive it and make it indexable for you locally. And things come to my rescue many times, and it's free.
Really? Well, MailStore Home.
MailStore Home.
This probably won't cheer you up, Doc, but this headline in the Register made me laugh. On the 12th day of the Rackspace email disaster, it did not give to me a working Exchange inbox tree.
Yeah. It's
CrowdStrike has been brought in to investigate. And Rackspace is attempting to make all of our internal and external resources available to provide support to the remaining hosted Exchange customers. Remaining is an interesting choice of words there.
I'm not interested in migrating to Office 365. I just want plain email. Just come on.
Well, I think you're probably all right at Hover. And if you need more, I get 100 gigabytes of storage at Hover at Fastmail for $80 a year, and I think that's worth it, plus a lot of other wonderful services. What else happened in the world of hacking in 2022? Apple, Meta, and Google all were social engineered into giving hackers information, this because all three had access for law enforcement. Access which was not apparently too well policed. So by compromising the emails of law enforcement agencies, hackers were then able to ask for data from what looked like an official law enforcement. By the way, this data does not require a subpoena. They just go, well, you're law enforcement, so we're going to hand that over to you. I think that's going to change.
You look trustworthy.
That's a good email address. Apple and Meta both provided basic subscriber details, customer's address, phone number, and IP address in mid-2021. In response to forged emergency data requests. The reason these companies allow this is because the requests are of an imminent danger to people, supposedly. And so we're going to expedite this without a subpoena because we want to save lives. The emergency orders do not require a court order. Those requests do not require a court order. Snap received a forged legal request from the same hackers, not known whether the company provided the data. I think this was the Lapsus gang, as I remember, actually. Miners located in the U.S. and the U.K. interestingly, social engineering still is a very effective way to get information. Cloudflare, I think, had the biggest DDoS attack of the year. Steve, you reported on this, and I think this was the biggest. 26 million requests per second in a denial of a service attack. But you know, Steve, there's always a bigger one.
That's right. It's just been going back and forth. Google and Cloudflare. Google and Cloudflare.
Yeah.
Who could be attacked worse?
Yeah, it's incredible. Are these attacks from amplification attacks?
Yeah, it's large fleets of bots. And these days, there's so many vulnerable devices out on the internet, IoT devices largely, you know, people's routers, that these bots take up residence and then accept commands from a central server about which IP address to attack.
I think that, you know, you could use this to, say, blackmail. You could say blackmail DraftKings on Super Bowl Sunday,
right,
for instance. But what would be, were they blackmailing Cloudflare, or they just were trying it out?
Oh, it was a customer of Cloudflare that they were going after.
Okay.
And so Cloudflare offers
the service yes,
of blocking those. And I'm sure that we've all, one time or another, gone to a site which is being hosted behind this kind of protection at Cloudflare, and instead of going directly to the site, there's, you get a little interception page that says, hold on just a second, we're checking something, and then it allows you to go through. And were you a DDoS attack, you would not have gotten through.
IoT devices could have been involved in this attack, routers,
yep,
computers. Microsoft mitigated a record-breaking 3.47 terabit per second attack in November.
Wow. Yeah, that's where the wires actually start to glow.
that is significant. 3.47 terabits. That's incredible. That was on Azure. I guess, again, an Azure client, I would guess.
And that actually is the new amount of RAM that you need for the next version of Windows.
Windows 11, 3.7 terabits required. Required.
Yep.
Just to mitigate. All right. Let's see. Let's talk. I think that anything else about hacking you want to mention, Steve? Was there any other big story?
I think the big trend, we talked about it on Security Now 2 days ago, but worth just noting, is that everything is getting a lot more litigious. We're seeing Australia and now Japan are both changing their laws in order to be proactive in attacks. They're saying, we're going to go attack attackers before they attack us. That's all new.
Is it ever happening successfully?
No. Well, it's just started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in the process of moving that legislation through
before they attack.
Oh, they identify the attackers, so they're able to basically, we knew who the evil people were. We just had no grounds for attacking
them. I see. Oh, okay.
And so now they're saying we're not going to wait to be attacked. We're deciding that we're going to be preemptive. And we're also seeing, I think it was Turkey that was subject to the Iranian attacks earlier this year. They're now prosecuting five of their IT staff for being complicit in this attack. We've never seen that before. So, you know, the one thing we haven't yet seen is anyone holding the actual suppliers of the software accountable, like Microsoft, because the operating system is buggy. And of course, the license agreement says, oh, sorry, it's all up to you. If you use the software, we're not going to be responsible for what happens. I think we're going to begin to see that changing too. But right now, mostly, I think the story is that the attorneys are being rolled out much more quickly than ever before.
Roll out the attorneys. All right, we're going to roll out our final ad. We have, I said we'd do this in 2 hours. We have about 20 minutes less left. Let's see if I can keep my word.
Relax.
We got a few big categories left, but
we got much to talk about.
And then, Jeff, you're going to be doing the honors and sing The Wind Beneath My Wings when we do the In Memoriam segment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be good.
Bass.
I look forward to that.
Key of C, please.
Actually, I do want to mention, I'm actually thrilled. We've had IT Pro TV as a sponsor for many years, since they started, I think, back in 2013. So it's been 10 years, and I'm very pleased to announce it's going to start tomorrow. We're recording this on the 15th, but this show is airing on the 25th. Starting on the 26th, we have a brand new studio sponsor. IT Pro is now IT Pro from ACI Learning, and we are thrilled that they have agreed to sponsor our studio in the year 2023. So thank you. And we're really glad to be participating with this because they have been with us for 10 years since they started. Lisa and I have visited their Gainesville, Florida studios where they are creating the best training content ever. Of course, we talk all the time about IT Pro and ACI Learning for individuals, but your IT team also needs this training, maybe more than anybody. Because if your business is going to succeed, if your business is going to continue, you don't want to be hacked. You don't want ransomware. You need an IT team that is up to snuff. And it's also a great gift for your IT team. The kind of training they're getting from IT Pro from ACI Learning is the best in the business. They will gain new skills, get better at the skills they already have, and they will love every minute of it. I can tell you how I know. More than 80% of the users who start an IT Pro video finish it. It's engaging content, giving them information they can use in a way they love. You're getting the best trainers in the world, people who work in the business, who know the content, but also are passionate about it. And that passion communicates through every video. Videos are about 20 to 30 minutes long. They have full transcriptions, makes it easy for you to assign even just one video or a portion of one video. You can search those transcriptions, find that bit you want your IT team to learn about. And with the IT Pro dashboard, the enterprise dashboard, you have absolute control over all the training. I like the cheesehead. That's good. Every vendor, every skill you need, Microsoft, Cisco, Linux, Apple training, security, cloud, more than 6,800 hours of training, ranging from technical skills to compliance, even to soft skills like marketing. It's all there. And it helps your team be ready for any threat, any system upgrade, any new software release. They are up to date on everything going on in the business in IT, and they can watch it at home on their TV. They can watch it on their phone. They can watch it on their Apple TV or their Roku. That is fantastic. I really think this is the way to get training done. The dashboard lets you track your team's results. You have complete control over the seats are assigned and unassigned, and you get usage reports, metrics like logins and viewing time, which tracks are completed and so forth. So you really have control and beautiful visual reports that make it easy to justify the spend to the higher-ups as well. You're going to have an IT team that is ready for action. And of course, if you're an individual looking to get into IT or even just an individual working in IT who wants to get better, IT Pro has individual plans too. It really is the best online engagement ever. You're going to love it. IT Pro, now from ACI Learning, give your team the IT development platform they need to level up their skills while enjoying the journey. It is a great program. We love it. Same address, itpro.tv/twit. itpro.tv/twit. And we are really thrilled. Thank you, IT Pro from ACI Learning. We are really thrilled to have you as a signature sponsor for the year 2023. It makes a big difference for us, for our operation. But also, it's a great partnership. We love these guys. We've been with them for a long time. And I think one of the reasons they want to do it, they want to get the word out. They've got a new partnership that really is going to make us even better. IT Pro from ACI Learning. Welcome, guys. And we thank you for your support. All right, moving on. We did hacking. There was some important stuff that happened in government. It's funny. A lot of times what government does is irrelevant to what we talk about. But the CHIPS Act passed this year in April. Actually, it didn't pass in April. It passed in July. But that and gave $52 billion to build new U.S. foundries. TSMC broke ground shortly after in Arizona. So did Intel. That was a big deal, really big deal. And then the other action that made a big difference from government was the U.S. decision to block sale of technology to China, some chip technology and others, claiming that China was using it to crack our encryption and for military uses. This has been a very big deal for a lot of these companies, and certainly a big deal for China. A success, would you say?
I don't know how you block technology. That just sort of seems like an oxymoron to me. In a world of the internet, where technology is available, if it's in use in the United States, somehow China's not going to find out about it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. One of the technologies that they are being prohibited from using is a TSMC technology called EUV. It's actually manufactured by a Dutch firm. The Dutch are also blocking the sale of equipment to China. Without EUV, China can't build the very small, 5-nanometer and 3-nanometer processes. But you're absolutely right.
I mean,
right.
China's not going to be able to duplicate the technology on their own if they can't buy it. They'd rather buy it, but if they can't buy it, they'll make it.
Exactly. Or figure it out or steal it, which they have actually done quite well. That was another thing that happened this year was Huawei joined a number of other Chinese companies blocked from U.S. Companies for that very reason. They didn't want Huawei to put spy equipment into the United States. Anyway, the CHIPS Act, I think on balance, a very good thing that will make a difference. One of the biggest stories of the year, of course, supply chain. Has that eased up? Is supply? How did supply chain, Paul, hit the PC market?
Sorry. It didn't, Leo, because PC sales fell through the floor.
So oh, there you go.
No, actually, there are a lot of indications that this is starting to ease up, depending on the market.
But that's maybe why the sales fell through the floor, or was it lack of demand?
No. This was just a post-pandemic hangover.
Because Apple said, we could have sold more computers if we could have just made them.
Well, but they did the following quarter. Car sales. The same thing happened with car sales, right?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get the chips in order to make the cars.
Ford was shipping trucks without some chips.
Sony now expects to sell more PlayStation 5s this quarter, this month, actually, thanks to this lightening up, I guess. So,
okay.
Yeah, it depends. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at the PC industry.
It's tempting, I understand. Yeah. But supply chain certainly was a story that went on throughout the year, but you think now it's kind of...
We're still going to see issues, into next year for sure. But it depends on the market and the product.
Right.
And I think it absolutely does make sense to have more than a single source of these things. The idea of a building fab in the U.S., glad this happened.
We got used to a certain level of reliability with getting whatever we wanted whenever we wanted it. And I think that might be over. But I think it eases up. I don't know that we ever go back to where we were before.
Yeah. It's kind of tied also to China's zero COVID policy. A lot of factories were closed down, and then more recently, workers started rioting. The Chinese government last week turned back on its zero COVID policy and said, never mind. The doors are open. Please get a vaccine.
We spent the past 15 to 20 years making China the most efficient and cheapest place to make anything. And now the whole world is trying to back out of there. So we have multiple sources for products.
Right.
And
is that going to work, though? I understand. I mean, Apple and others are saying we're going to manufacture in India, in Brazil, in Vietnam. But of course, there's some concern also about the future of Taiwan, which right now is another place. Yep. TSMC is a Taiwanese company that chips are manufactured. But is it going to work? Can Apple, which has 300,000 workers in iPhone City in Zhengzhou, China, building iPhones, can they somehow move that to the U.S.?
No. But I think Apple is the test case for this, right? The poster child, because they are so prominent and so big. And they have said publicly, I believe,
they want to do it.
This is going to take they want to do it, but it's going to take a while. This is not, you don't just flip a switch and iPhones are coming out of Vietnam or whatever. Right. It's hard.
The other really interesting thing is all the saber rattling that China's doing with regard to Taiwan. You know, China needs the chips from TSMC just as much as the rest of the world does. And if you've ever looked at the fab inside TSMC, it is the most fragile technology that we have ever created on the planet. I mean, you can't sneeze within a block of that facility and not have it completely blow your process. So there's no way that China can be aggressive toward Taiwan without risking totally shutting down the global supply of chips. And they can't afford that any more than we can.
Right. You know, what's interesting, too, though, is it's not just the technology industry. I was talking to a board member of a drywall company and the pressure on them to disconnect from China. The entire push over the last, as you said, Paul, 15 years is let's do everything in China. Let's move everything to China. Let's make it cheaper. Let's help the economy. And now there's tremendous political pressure to cut off those ties. And it's happening across the economy. And it's not going to be easy. And I don't know that it's going to happen.
Does all the gypsum come from China?
I don't know where gypsum comes from. I just know that he cares about white powder.
It comes from Staten Island.
You know, by the way, one thing I learned is that kaolin is what coats a slick paper stock to make it so slick.
Yeah.
It fills in all of the, right?
Yeah.
It's most of the kaolin capital of the world is in Georgia. Right. And a little known fact is because kaolin is slightly radioactive, magazines have a half-life.
Oh, my God. And don't sleep with a magazine.
No,
and Paul, that means over there to your left, you're in trouble because you've got every Byte magazine.
He's
ever
got them
made.
All. I think they've all emanated as much kaolin.
No, these are all. These are made of asbestos.
Those are safe.
They may be pre-kaolin.
Exactly. Fortunately, I have the gypsum stats to hand.
Oh, okay.
China is, in fact, by far the largest producer of gypsum in the world, 144 million metric tons. The number two, 16 million, and that's Iran. And
that's Iran, which ain't a picnic itself.
I think there is a gypsum ban, isn't there?
Crisis a coming.
Yeah, we got a gypsum crisis on our hands. We only produce 15 million tons of gypsum a year. We got to get on that.
That's the sheetrock business, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Drywall, right?
Yeah.
What's plaster made of?
Paris, I believe. I may be wrong on that. Doc has sent us a link to marine traffic. I don't know.
It is incredible. If you zoom in on anywhere, it's just amazing what it shows.
Does this give you some idea of why we have a supply chain shortage? Does it show you all the boats stuck outside Long Beach?
I love going
up
the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are fewer stuck outside Long Beach than there used to be. I know that because I flew over it a few days ago. I thought, where did all the boats go?
It's not that bad. Yeah.
And Newark, when I flew in today to Newark, usually you see boats right there by the IKEA as you're coming down the runway. And I didn't see as many, so there you go. It's just one view.
Perhaps what do the colors mean, Doc? Do you know?
What's that?
What do the colors mean?
Oh, the color. Summer oil. Summer.
Our
barges, like the blue ones that are on the Ohio River, and all of those are barges. I think.
This is cool. The red ones, I think, are cool. Weather to it.
Is Elon's yacht on this?
Probably.
Yeah.
But they have, and actually, if you click on one, it'll tell you. Like, here's a tanker. The red one's a tanker. This blue one is, a cargo vessel.
Look at that.
It's really cool.
And
there's an app. There's an app for your phone as well. And, of course, it's a freemium thing. This is the free version. But I mean, you can see where the boats were made. Like the cruise boats are on here. I think those are the big blue ones are cruise boats.
Those are the brown boats over here. Yeah, I should say. Look, that's a fishing boat. Wow,
sure.
Wow.
Yeah, the fishing boats.
This is cool. This is nice. MarineTraffic.com. Oh, look, a little tugboat there. Yeah.
Yeah, tugboats there too. Yeah. Oh. It's anything that they can locate by satellite, anything that's communicating by satellite.
This and is, a lot of them have is, to. They have to let their...
This is like that air traffic locator. This is just
slower. It's a lot like that, yeah. Like FlightAware has something similar.
Yeah, I love FlightAware, yeah.
And Flight Radar 24 is really cool, too. You can see what's flying overhead.
Good. I want. We're going to create a new account on Mastodon, Leo's Tug, and you'll know where my tugboat is at all times.
You have kind of a tugboat personality.
Yeah. I do. And so I've always wanted a tugboat. Yeah.
Tugboat Leo. Like Tugboat Annie. Tugboat Annie, that was his thing.
It's a children's story, soon to be a Christmas classic.
Tugboat Leo. I think I can. Yeah, I think
the little tugboat with the Santa hat. And here comes the evil green submarine, the Grinch.
I love it. We could write this right now. Paskies, I think, might have been a big story, Steve, this year. This was the FIDO authentication technology that, in theory, eliminates passwords. Google, Apple, Microsoft, by the end of the year, shipped each of them technologies that would allow you to use passkeys on Passkey-enabled sites. There are not very many, but this could be a very important change going forward, yes?
Absolutely. I would say that this is the year that it launched, and we have probably a decade now for adoption.
That long?
Yeah, because passwords still work, and it's not clear why anyone's going to switch. I think when support is built into the server platforms, then it will be trivial for people to turn it on. And so
you
as
mean like
servers,
WordPress and Squarespace and Shopify and Wix
and IIS and
oh,
Apache
and built into the servers
Nginx. Exactly. So so when it's just a matter of turning it on the way it is now for TLS, then people will go, yeah, let's turn it on.
Yeah, if you think about then, encrypt this, that was an almost overnight success, wasn't it? Adding TLS to websites.
Let's encrypt, yes.
Well, let's encrypt, not encrypt this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, again, it did take time. I mean, they said, you know, here it is, but, you know, and they made it free, and now increasingly servers just, you know, have it built in.
A couple of weeks ago, they announced they had issued their 3 billionth HTTPS certificate.
That's, yeah, that's and about cool. a million of those are legitimate.
I have certificates for my Synology NAS, for my website. You know, I've done quite a few. It's just a little script you run, and it generates every 3 months you get a new cert. Yep. It's a nice feature. But you're right, a lot of those might be NASs or other devices that aren't really...
Well, or their lookalike names, where you have to have HTTPS now in order not to get a big alert or have browsers just refuse to take you there at all.
I remember going to almost logging into TVVITTER.com.
Exactly.
Because the two V's looked a lot like a W.
Yep.
Now I wish I joined TVVITTER. maybe that's my new home on the internet. Streaming wars, big story. Began the year with an Academy Award for Apple's Coda, Best Picture of the Year. That was, in a way, a sign that Steven Spielberg, who argued that it's not a movie if it doesn't show in a theater, might have lost the battle.
Yeah.
And I think that's the future, frankly. The Game of Thrones return was the House of the Dragon and the Rings of Power, the Lord of the Rings return, the big battle in fantasy TV, Amazon versus HBO. Oh, and speaking of HBO, the mess that's going on with Discovery Warner, CNN Plus was launched and then pulled a month after launch by the new owners at Discovery Warner.
Mr. Licht.
They've also announced that they're going to change the name again of HBO, which became HBO Max. Going forward, I don't know what they're going to call it.
Max.
Max. Sure.
Short for Maxwell Smart.
Yeah, Max. Would you believe a streaming service? Netflix struggling.
Stock's too young to get that reference.
Yeah, I know. You have to be over 100 to get smart references. Netflix struggled a lot this year. It lost millions of subscribers, announced that they were going to start cracking down on password sharing. I haven't noticed that yet. And I share my password with all my kids
in different states.
Yeah, exactly. But then I haven't watched much of Netflix either.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't see how I could give them more money. Netflix is almost a car payment now. You know?
Well, you could save money by watching the ad-supported version of Netflix, which is apparently a complete flop. Yep. 80% lower subscriptions than they thought. They're giving money back to advertisers. But maybe it just takes a while to build. So the ad-supported plan on Netflix is a little bit less.
If they disable your fast-forward button, forget it.
I think they do, of course. Otherwise, you wouldn't see the ads. And who wants that?
That's right.
Who wants that? We did talk this year about our own Christina Warren, who was looking for some CNN Plus swag. She collects swag from companies that are no longer in business.
Wow.
And NPR did a great piece on her in which she said, if you've got any CNN Plus swag, I would very much like that.
Oh, wow.
She's also looking for, and I think since this story came out, got some Theranos swag as well.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. I have some Litter's Journal swag right here that I'm wearing.
Oh, and there you go.
The website's still up.
She works at GitHub. She probably would appreciate that.
Yeah. Now would be the time to grab some Twitter swag in that case.
No kidding.
That auction's coming up.
Well, they're auctioning it off right now.
I buy the
big
blue bird for my living room.
I would, you know what? I almost want to, if it goes at a reasonable, I'd buy it for Christina. That would be awesome. here she is in a Fyre Festival t-shirt. That's got to be hard to find. But she calls a few things the white whale, Quibi and Theranos. Finding the Quibi and the Theranos stuff would really be would make her happy.
She have a warehouse?
I don't know where she puts this stuff. She's hoping employees or people who saved freebies from Theranos events might have something.
Should I have before me right here?
Yes. What do you got?
An Entertainment Weekly with the original logo calculator.
Yeah.
See, that's confusing because it looks like a TV remote.
A remote.
Who wants
the intersection between math and people that watch Entertainment Weekly?
Marketing people, you know?
Does Entertainment Weekly still exist, Jeff?
I don't know. Not in print.
Was this the year that it went out of print?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
In fact,
I said, they have a half-life.
Yeah. A number of magazines stopped their print editions.
Tons.
A lot of those because of, who's the new owner of People?
Dot Dash bought Meredith, which had in turn bought Time Inc.
Dot Dash?
Dot Dash is the former About.com.
About.com.
Owned by Barry Diller.
Oh.
So the last remnants of a great magazine company, two of them, are now on a content factory line. You know,
wonderful.
Give me more trends. And so Time Inc. sloughed off Sports Illustrated and Time and Fortune. The rest was sold to Meredith. Meredith was then sold to Dot Dash. Dot Dash killed InStyle and Entertainment Weekly and one or two others, I think.
This really is also the story of 2022, is the acquisitions and, you know, ZD was bought by Red Ventures and Yahoo and... It's just, I guess that's what happens in failing industries, is they just kind of become fire sales, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sell the assets.
Their espresso makers, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of fire sales, I'm so happy to report U.S. cable companies lost another 785,000 paying customers last quarter. It has been a migration away from cable, partly from cord cutting, but some of it, apparently, is going to T-Mobile and Verizon for their 5G-based fixed wireless internet services.
Does that work?
Yeah, works quite well.
His daughter?
My daughter has Verizon, and because I'm a Verizon subscriber, it's $25 a month for 150 megabits down and 30 up. But it's also because she's near a 5G tower. She's near a freeway, and that's where the 5G mostly is implemented.
Get this. At this apartment here in New York, I notice there's a new thing that looks like a wedge at the top of a telephone pole across the street. And so I had my son, is to turn off Wi-Fi and see if he's got T-Mobile. I have T-Mobile, too.
See what the 5G is.
So it would, in other words, force the 5G. Get this. 500 down and 100 up.
Oh, it's probably millimeter wave. Yeah.
Whatever it was. And he could do it on his iPhone 13. I've got an
on
iPhone
Verizon?
11, wouldn't
who,
do it.
Who was the carrier?
T-Mobile.
So Oh, and now it's that new thing T-Mobile's doing.
Yeah.
T-Mobile is doing an aggregated weird 5G that actually gives you about 500 megabits. So I think that's what it is. What's it called?
Yeah. I don't know. I was amazed.
It's T-Mobile 3CA. Three-channel aggregation. It's the mid-band spectrum.
Channel bonding. Yeah,
channel bonding.
Channel bonding.
And it's hitting speeds of up to 3 gigabits on a Galaxy S22, according to 9to5 Google. So I bet you that's what that is a T-Mobile 3CA antenna. Interesting. Well, you know, we made a lot of fun over the last few years over 5G, but this was the year 5G started to really take off and is real. In fact, that's why people left the cable companies, because it turns out fixed home internet over 5G ain't so bad.
Whose presentation was it where they did a Apple. Mashup of apples, just the 5Gs?
Can
was
I that this do, year? Can I? That was 2 years ago, I think. Let me two see if I can. Okay. I could probably get in trouble.
You've never gotten in trouble for doing anything with Apple. Go for it.
I don't know if a big cut down like that. This was when this was the iPhone 12 announcement. So this was 2 years ago. Oh, what the hell? Let's play it.
Hello, and welcome back to Apple Park. I am so glad you could join us today. 5G, 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 5G.
This is one event.
5G,
5G, 5G. This reminds me back when
5G, 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 5G,
5G.
It finally happened.
5G, 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 5G.
It'll never end.
It's 49 seconds of 5G.
5G. Thank you for joining us. Stay safe and have a great day.
You should have just said, thank you for joining us, 5G.
So a long time. More time. Years ago, when I was in radio, we actually, using a razor, we put together a Ted Kennedy speech, which is nothing but his as, so he sounded like a sheep.
He had that great Hyannisport.
Dvorak
did that with Bill Gates' deposition in the DOJ Microsoft case
fun.
In the mid 90s. But what he cut out was the gulps. So it was just Bill going, I would love that video. I don't have to ask Dvorak for that. Anyway, 5G, we mocked it in 2 years ago? So 2020. It's here. I think this is
like the pass casing that Steve was talking about. It takes a while.
Yep.
You know, you can't just announce it's here.
There was a time when people called QR codes robot barf.
Yeah, and
now you can't live without them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the pandemic to a great extent. Yeah. You know, before you leave streaming, this was also the year in which streaming surpassed cable and broadcast.
Yes.
But it's also the year in which streaming had the fastest arc ever. Where everybody was doing it all success, and now because there's too much competition, it's on the downswing again.
Peacock flat, Disney's up, but Netflix is down. Yeah, you're right. The competition has hurt a lot of the streamers.
The investments in entertainment properties are huge, and they're not paying off.
HBO has not joined a service to simply watch one thing and then quit.
Right,
right.
Yep. Well, Ant makes fun of me because I keep on. I still have HBO and Showtime. I don't watch a single thing. I'm waiting for Succession and what's another show I forget about?
Watch White Lotus. White Lotus is not bad. That just ended. Okay. You can watch all that. It's no Succession, but what is? Right. Let's face it.
Billions. That's the only one. Billions.
Billions, yeah. Lisa and I were last night. Lisa was saying, whatever. Why aren't there shows like True Blood on anymore? You know?
Right.
What happened to The Sopranos? I don't know if they're reaching that height anymore. Succession is the only one. That's the one.
But it's, you know, I think it won't age well, actually. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's no Sopranos.
Veep has aged well. Veep was great.
Yes, it has.
Yep.
There was a New Yorker piece this week, which I have not read because I don't subscribe to the New Yorker. Somebody who'd never watched Seinfeld sat down and watched all of Seinfeld. Did you read it, Paul?
Yeah, and we happen to be rewatching the series right now, so I was kind of fascinated by this.
Has that aged well?
Yeah, but you have to skip to season 3. So the beginning of the show is terrible. But yeah, once we almost stopped watching it. It was so bad.
It actually didn't do well in its first few seasons. It was terrible.
But yeah, but that person, I thought that article was fascinating because it was really not much about Seinfeld. It was more just about them in the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, that was an interesting article.
I finally watched Seinfeld. The show didn't appeal to me when it first aired, mostly because I harbored a long simmering antagonism towards mainstream America.
Oh, well. Okay, there's that.
Saeed Sarafzadeh. Interesting. Yeah.
Down with Seinfeld.
I actually consciously stopped watching Seinfeld in the middle of its run because I thought, I'm going to save this for my nursing home.
Wow.
I just want something to watch. And it'll be better if I haven't seen it before. Although now I realize.
If enough time goes by.
Yeah, you don't remember.
There are lots of shows that have a rough first season. The first season of Star Trek Next Generation was awful. Oh, my God.
Horrific.
You know, yep. Jean-Luc was like screaming on the bridge, and it took him a while to like find their voice, and then it really settled in.
Yeah, that's true.
And it can I go gave the other Friends way. A bad review when it started.
Did you
then
really?
Then I wrote a skin back, and I still have a note from them saying thanks for being honest.
It can go the other way. West Wing was brilliant, and its very first episode was brilliant.
I think most shows
Cosby.
Are on a downward trajectory.
Cosby.
Honestly.
Went to crap.
How do you finish that sentence, Cosby? What do you...
I know.
There's no ending.
Well, I mean, Fat Albert got it right.
I have
right,
my Cosby but, hate mail, you know.
I thought Silicon Valley was pretty damn good.
That was a good... But again, it didn't age well. I think later episodes...
Oh, no. If you watch it now, it's too old. But as it progressed, and the end of it was actually quite good, I thought, the very, very end.
Did Silicon Valley jump the shark when Kara Swisher showed up?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, just checking. Finally.
She blocked me this week.
Kara
blocked
did?
Me. Yeah, so she had a post, she had a kind of a ridiculous post, that's why she blocked me.
Well, it's Kara Swisher,
It's Kara Swisher, going on about how she's on a plane and she's constantly trying to intuit into Musk's behavior sense or brilliance, right? So this was, well, he's really creating a media company and he's the next Murdoch and that's what he's doing here.
No.
She goes through the whole long thread and I just said that was like reading duck entrails. Musk's, not hers. And I said, there's one thing left out here for a media company, which is any revenue. That's all I said. It wasn't that bad. She blocked me. I'm on
Did we all see that neural network nonsense about, you know, someone said why asked Elon why he bought Twitter. And he said, well, I'm a neural network. Just like machine neural networks, you never know why they make the decisions they do.
You don't understand the reasoning.
They just do. And I'm a biological neural network and something told me to buy Twitter. And
garbage in, garbage out.
Why I did.
Yeah, there you
go. He literally
We
said
were just
that.
Talking about robot puke, right?
He's goofing around.
I think it is he's goofing around. But the goofing around can have consequences. You know, when you say things like my pronouns are prosecute Fauci, or when you go after Joel Roth and force him to leave his home, former head of Twitter Trust and Safety, who was, you know, Elon's best friend until he quit and said, well, I can't do Trust and Safety if only one guy's in charge. And now he's Elon's worst enemy. He called him a pedophile, Elon's favorite insult. And as a result, the Elon army...
That's a troubling go-to term for that guy, you know?
It really is.
That should be a warning sign to anybody.
I think so.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The big story, I think one of the big stories, and maybe one of the more exciting stories of the year, was the AI revolution.
Yes,
this all kind of happened towards the end of the year. I was looking, and in April we had the story about DALL-E can edit pictures, and then they opened it up to the public, and then along comes open source Stable Diffusion, and it's amazing, and because it's open source, the development is very aggressive. Very fast, then Midjourney, and then, of course, ChatGPT, which just was opened to the public by OpenAI a couple of weeks ago. And what it looks like is almost a Cambrian explosion of artificial intelligence, that perhaps we are at the hockey stick. Is that overambitious, do you think?
No. Have you heard the – is it Holly, The Jolene cover by that artist that's completely AI generated is incredible.
No.
So this is actually the question somebody was asking this week is, where is the music version of this?
Oh, no, it's out. Look this up. The Jolene, there's an AI that re-recorded Jolene by Dolly Parton, but in the voice of an artist.
Should I play it? Can I get in trouble? Yes,
it's fantastic.
Here's a picture of Holly
Plus, I'm sorry.
Plus. All right, I will.
The video is not great, but the music is fantastic.
Well, as often with AI generated, it's kind of like an image out of your nightmares, isn't it? Sometimes,
The video
it's the.
All right, well, close your eyes, everybody, while I play this. Unless you're driving. So this is all generated by AI,
right?
Even the music.
Oh, especially the music.
But I mean, not just the vocals.
Oh, actually.
Is it real music and fake vocals?
The vocals are AI.
Ryan Norris, who handles instrumentation.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there was a guy playing this, the guitar. But
is this hard?
The voice is not hard. I mean, we've heard it before, right?
Yeah, so I don't know if this is...
No, that's not such a big deal to me.
Yeah, no, I wanted to make up entirely.
I love that we are at the point where we're not impressed by it.
That's not worth it.
That's your AI.
Like, you know, that's fine. Okay.
I'm trying to find it right now.
I mean, maybe if the robot army was coming.
When we have heard AI music, it has been the what is that? Oh, that's your AI, Steve.
That's Lenza.
Lenza's very cool.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Lenza has a little bit of a problem, though.
I notice your Glenza thing doesn't have a lot of cleavage, though.
Yeah, can we? I really can't show Lisa's AI because now they fixed it, I think. But initially, so I did mine first, and like yours, Steve, it looked like me. It wasn't sexy. This is Kim Schaffer, who is works on the radio show. She's a call screener. Not, you know, it's cute. It's not bad. And mine are fine. There are a few kind of sexy ones where I'm like in this one in fur.
There's your Trump NFT, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I'll spend $99 for that.
There's some... I mean, I didn't... That's
Why
not
do you
me.
Have your shirt off
That's
so
not
much?
Me. Well, I don't... There were no, but okay, but let me tell you. Yeah, for some reason, it decided to take my shirt off. But I can't show you...
I love that
show
this is
you.
Where it goes. Is this like AI by 13-year-old
Is that what it looks like
boys?
For real?
I can't. Yeah, that's exactly. I have got the 8-pack. Absolutely. But I can't show you the ones it made of Lisa. This is Lenza also, which is an app from the Prisma guys.
It's horny teenage boys run the world.
But what's so interesting is it doesn't do that with men. And it does ask you, are you a man or a woman or other? And then,
with women, there's a reporter who wrote about this and said, you know, I told it I was a man, and it still created these cleavage and kind of voluptuous pictures or whatever.
I think the pictures of the male are fine, except for the few topless ones. I can't go too far down this road. You can show a couple of these, right, Lisa? These are all right. She's apparently got a boob job, and then it gets it gets worse from there. I did not upload pictures with cleavage. I did not upload suggestive pictures. It was all just headshots, and for the most part, the headshots are fine. But there was a sexist element. Now it turns out, Anthony, who is running the board today, thank you, Anthony Nielsen, told me that there is a switch. He's our Stable Diffusion local expert. There's a switch that says no NSFW images. And I think what happened is Lenza, which uses server-side Stable Diffusion, which is one of the...
And wants to increase sales.
And yeah, well, initially they forgot to turn that off. So the pictures I generated of Lisa were last Thursday, a week ago exactly. The pictures I did of Kim were from Saturday. I was testing it to see, well, is it going to do that again? And it didn't. And so... Obviously, they said, oops, we didn't flip that switch. Maybe we ought to. Meanwhile, I'm saving these pictures of Lisa for later.
Scientific purposes,
I assure you.
I stuck this in the chat. There's a piece by Kevin Rusin in the New York Times that has I think it's brilliant, the instructions for removing a peanut butter sandwich from a VCR in the style of the King James
Bible. It was
quite
good. It was quite
really
good.
Brilliant.
Shall I do a little performance?
Yeah, do it. In your voice, would be great.
Which accent are you going to do, Leo?
Well, it's Bible, so I'll do the accent of God.
Actually, one of your pictures looked like God. You should bring that up too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we really, we'd really have it. Where does he? He doesn't. Does he link it in this article?
You have to scroll down. It's in a tweet. It's one of the visuals.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can tweets. I don't. What are those? Is that something?
It's Thomas Patrick. You know,
is that something?
It's from the past.
Bird?
It's about halfway down the article, and it's a
it's
long
like a lithograph.
Tweet. A guy says, "I simply cannot be cynical about a technology that can accomplish this."
Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The prompt was: write a biblical verse in the style of the King James Bible, explaining how to remove a peanut butter sandwich from a VCR. And it
as one does,
and it came to pass that a man was troubled by a peanut butter sandwich, for it had been placed within his VCR, and he knew not how to remove it. And he cried out to the Lord, saying, "Oh, Lord, how can I remove this sandwich from my VCR, for it is stuck fast and will not budge?" And the Lord spoke unto him, saying, "Fear not, my child, for I shall guide thy hand and show thee the way." Is this sacrilegious? Am I going to get?
Well, that's perfect.
Am I going to hell?
Christmas? Why not?
Take thy butter knife.
Like,
it is Christmas.
Like
Christmas
Bela Lugosi from The Grinch.
Take thy butter knife,
right,
and carefully insert it between the sandwich and the VCR, and gently pry them apart. And with patience and perseverance, the sandwich shall be removed, and thy VCR will be saved. And the man did as the Lord commanded. And lo and behold, the sandwich was removed from the VCR, and the man was saved. And the Lord said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, seek not to put thy peanut butter sandwiches in thy VCR, for it is not a suitable place for such things. Rather, keep thy sandwiches in thy refrigerator or on thine plate where they belong." And the man heeded the Lord's words. And from that day forth, he kept his sandwiches in their proper place and was saved from trouble and woe. Amen. You know what? Okay. Thank you. That's me.
Astonishing.
That's the one. There we go. He's generating. He's generating pictures of me. In real time,
rewrite
by
my
the
book
way.
In that language.
That's real time.
Yeah, wow. I'm impressed that you're doing this. This is, as we do the show.
I'm remoting into my work PC.
Wow,
so it's not the
look at that. That's his. What was the prompt?
The Leo shot is from a god.
Leo is a
shot
god
from Foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow.
I am a wrathful Lord. I think there's a sense of humor in this that is quite impressive, but is it really a sense of humor or no?
Well, as long as you do irony, you're going to get some humor.
I was going to say, it might be irony. It might be the closest.
This is this year.
Debrew's piece.
Yeah, well, let me just quote Blake Lemoine, the Google engineer who got fired, because he said Google's Lambda AI had become sentient.
That's also this year, yes.
But you could actually, reading that, think, well, by this ChatGPT really kind of understands irony.
No, I think one attribute it's gained this year is the ability to understand humor better, to identify humor, which is not hard to imagine, right? It's Jerry Seinfeld is all about the architecture of a joke,
right?
And if you really understand the architecture of humor, you can do it. So there's an architecture to irony. There's an architecture to a joke. And I think that's what, it's not surprising then that GPT can get that.
That's got to scare a lot of comics and humor writers, however.
Who it really scares is professors. Yeah. I constantly, every day I see academics on, how are we going to assign essays? How are they going to learn to write? And then other people come back and say, well, you fools, this is just the future. I think I've got to start teaching prompt writing.
It would be the skill. Yes, it would be the equivalent of teaching somebody the Palmer method for handwriting in the computer age, right? It's not.
Yeah.
It's a skill unneeded these days. Is that true? Certainly for generic. Well,
it's the new programming. It's the new coding.
I'm impressed you prompt. Know the Palmer method. Wow. That's,
I told you it's the old man show, Doc.
Yeah.
my grandmother learned that, and she died at 108 in 1990. So that's
yikes.
There's a story. Wow. I've told this story before, but I at one point Because when I learned, we learned the more modern cursive. I doubt, do you think kids learn cursive?
They don't even teach cursive.
I know they don't. No. They don't teach cursive.
They don't teach addition.
Well, that's another matter for another day. But we learned what was considered a more modern, I'm trying to remember the name of the cursive that we learned. But it's ugly, kind of, you know, the one, you know, the one with the V with a little hitch and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's cursed.
It's halfway to calligraphy.
Cursive. Yeah. It's not, though. That's the problem is it's kind of it's dumbed down.
Yeah.
When I got into a little thing over fountain pens, I went out and I bought, you can buy it on Amazon. Let me see if I can find the listing for it. You can buy
it's a nightmare.
The old chapbooks for teaching handwriting, but not from my era, but from your grandmother's era.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Palmer. It was actually a simplified Palmer.
Maybe this will make a comeback, like LPs and
it is very twee.
Where it had different ruling lines, right? Yeah. Different heights of lines.
Yeah, it does look like calligraphy. Yeah. It's quite beautiful, quite much more beautiful than the current method of handwriting. Anyway,
but you can do it with a normal pen, like a ballpoint pen or whatever.
It's better to do it with a fountain pen because you want strokes.
The strokes. Okay.
You want the thickness of stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, that's a weird. From AI to the Palmer method.
That we love.
let me see if I can just now I've modern cursive. All I'm getting, so I looked for modern cursive styles and stuff. All I'm getting is fonts.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to write something. So where do we think? So again, I'll ask the question: it's clearly not sentient, but it's also very good.
Except with facts, it's predicting the next word in a way that's going to sound right to us, and it's excellent at that. What is its downfall is that it and people think it's going to replace Google. No, it's not, because it's terrible at facts. It delivers wrong answers.
Yeah.
Well said. Now there's use
this,
for that.
This might be the right technology for this era.
But
honestly,
it is like a professor.
We talked about this, I think, and yesterday and on Floss Weekly, where there's one case where it delivered beautiful programming, but it was full of wrongness.
It can write code. Code. Yeah, people were using for the first few days of the advent of code. Yeah. It was writing the solution. So you could actually, in fact, a few people got on the leaderboard within 10 seconds of the release of the advent of code problem.
Oh, really?
They got on the leaderboard having ChatGPT do it. But it couldn't go past day three. As soon as it got complicated, it kind of failed. On the other hand, and you probably mentioned this, Doc, but GitHub's Copilot does a pretty good job of writing code. There is a problem with it because it seems to have scraped it all from.
Yeah, I was going to say it's sourcing its knowledge from the web. It's not built in. It's literally copy and paste.
But programmers for years, and you're a programmer, Paul, and so are you, Steve. Programmers for years have cribbed from, you know.
That's all
exchange.
We do. That's isn't yeah. that all programming?
Yeah. So I mean, Copilot is just a better way of doing that.
One of the things that I think ChatGPT can do is be very useful for brainstorming. Alex Lindsay was talking about this on Tuesday, where you ask it something and it, you know, spits something out, which doesn't have to be correct in detail, but it can be an entirely different way of thinking about something than you were.
So you kind of used it as an outline?
Yes. Well, just sort of as a friend.
As an aide.
You know.
Yeah. You know what it does really well? It writes documentation really well. So you can ask it. For instance, somebody posted and it was quite accurate. I don't understand aperture in photography. Could you explain what f-stops are and what aperture is and why it's important? Mm-hmm. And you can say something like, explain to me like I'm a fifth grader or something. But it does a very good job. I think for documentation, because it has access to all that material.
If it has access to the facts. I had an argument with ChatGPT about...
That's the Turing test. It passed the Turing test.
I know. My wife got a new MacBook Pro Air, right? It has the MagSafe 3 connector because there have now been three incompatible MagSafe connectors.
Yeah.
So I asked, is there, because I couldn't find one on Amazon. I want a MagSafe 2 to 3 converter. And it says, there is no MagSafe 3. I said, well, there is. And said, no, no, everything made by Apple now is uses a USB.
If this thing is sentient, it will realize it's losing the fight and it will just make fun of you.
Well, no, here's how it lost the fight. It said,
like Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know anything since like April 2021.
Yeah, that's why.
I was trained on through April of 2021. I don't know anything new.
It's interesting, though, that it sensed, oh, I see what the problem is. Something has happened since my training ended. Now, that's completely artificial. A modern
but it feels like self-awareness, doesn't it?
It's a failure light that went off.
Right.
But it argued with me before. It said, no, you're wrong. You know, it's
yeah.
Now, what
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sam Altman said it costs a lot of money, about 10 times a Google query per ChatGPT prompt, an eye-watering amount of money. So at some point, this is going to go back underwater. It uses a lot of energy, a lot of compute power. But presumably, you could have a ChatGPT that is always scanning for more information, getting smarter and smarter. It would know about Mag3.
Once upon a time, you need a good computer.
You need a constantly updated scrape, right?
It's expensive.
Yeah, but the other thing that interests me is that I think we're redefining literacy in this time. Literacy used to be to write essays, to write full thoughts. Literacy got redefined with new alphabets like emoji and with new media like memes and short video and podcasts. And then now you can get the aid of something that helps you write and say, yes, that was what I was trying to say. Thank you. And so you're expressing yourself better as a result.
This happened 20 years ago with research. It used to be you had to know how to use a card catalog, go in a library, find something. Now all you have to do is know how to ask Google.
Right. So it's query writing. It's prompt writing.
As you're talking, there's an accessibility angle to this that's actually really interesting, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Well,
tell me about that.
Also,
as he was talking, there are people who can't express themselves because of a disability of whatever kind. So in other words, yes, you helped me say what I was trying to. That's exactly what I meant. Is something that you don't have to have a disability, but anybody could probably use that help at one point or another.
Well, and Steve Jobs famously called a personal computer a bicycle for your mind,
which
allowed you to do much more. And also remember that the original portable computers we called luggables, and now we have them in our pocket. So
not merely in our pocket, millions of times faster.
Yes.
And always connected to the internet at a high
speed. And able to do AI locally.
And Apple will have the ChatGPT chip in the next phone.
That'll be the next Siri.
This will just be part of it.
Well, I can tell you right now, for instance, you were using Lensa, Steve, but you can actually download and run Stable Diffusion on a modern iPhone, and it runs fast as it does on a PC. Yeah. So, this is a breakthrough.
You said modern iPhone because you knew that I had a 6 sitting here.
That one, it won't work.
Is that running Windows 2000?
You don't have an iPhone. Come on, you have an iPhone 14, Steve. I know.
I have a 10. I have an X.
All right. Well, you might want to get a 14.
Here's the other piece, Leo, is that what this does for the businesses we're in is that it makes content absolutely and finally a commodity. There is the idea of scarce content, the idea of scarce writing, the idea of scarce media is completely gone now because a machine can generate unlimited amounts of it that makes sense to human beings. And that says the value is not in making a commodity called content. Watch out. That's been the case since Gutenberg. But it changes to where the value is in things like relationships. Right? So Elon Musk thinks that Twitter is about content. It's not. It's about the connections that people have.
That's true.
And look what happened with high school papers, where they all have to be run through a central server now in order to detect plagiarism. Now what do you do with kids who have to write something?
There is watermarking in this, and that people are experimenting with. I saw that story the other day. And there are ChatGPT detectors already. Though I know one author on Mastodon, an author I know of, a real book, put some paragraphs of her honest to God book in it and said it was 98% chance it was ChatGPT.
Yeah, remember what happened. DALL-E 2 came out. It was constrained. You had to have credits. And then somebody did an open source version of Stable Diffusion, and that's when it took off. And when somebody does an open source ChatGPT that you can train with your own models, I despair for any detector figuring out that you're using ChatGPT.
I agree. Yep. I agree.
Here is the Stable Diffusion for your iPhone. It's free. It's open source. It's called Draw Things. And it is, if you've used Stable Diffusion, you'll recognize the interface. You can download other checkpoints, other models. It's pretty impressive.
So how does that work, Leo, in terms of how it's calling into...
You have the model on your phone. They're 1.6 gigs per model. So you need.
So the model has all. If you were disconnected, it would work.
Yes.
Wow.
So you can carry this in your pocket.
Wow.
So again, the question: are we at an inflection point in AI?
Yes.
And I think we've all agreed we are.
Yeah.
We will. Will we look back and say 2022? That was the year that
5G and AI came to life.
Actually, happened
when you put that much computing and that much storage in the cloud. This much processing power through GPUs, this is what happens.
Vlad Savov writing for Bloomberg said ChatGPT could be AI's iPhone moment.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's a good way to put it. Hey, it's so much fun talking with you guys. I wish we could just do this show every week, but you got to make it special with your green hands. Let's just briefly go through a list of some of the people we lost this year. This is something... It's always the sad part of the Academy Awards when they play a sad song and they have pictures of your favorites, and it's going to be a long list this year. We lost a lot of people. But what doesn't happen is we don't often acknowledge the pioneers in technology who we lost this year. I try to at the end of Twits. Maybe that's something that happens with age. You start reading obituaries. You start looking at what age they passed, things like that. But we lost quite a few people because we're getting to that age, you know. Computing is getting old enough now that some of its earliest pioneers are in their 80s and 90s, like John Roach, the pioneer of the personal computer. He was the guy working at Tandy who decided to make the TRS-80. He passed this year at the age of 83. He introduced in the late 1970s, the TRS-80 for $600 through Radio Shack stores. And I know there are an awful lot of us, a lot of you listening, who got your start with the TRS-80 or Trash 80, as we used to call it.
As us Commodore users used to call it.
Steve Wilhite, the creator of the GIF. And by the way, he said before he passed, it's GIF. It's all right. We'll call it GIF tomorrow. But today,
okay.
Steve Wilhite, one of the inventors of the GIF format, passed away from COVID at the age of 74. That was in March of this year. He worked on the graphics interchange format for CompuServe. They were looking for another way to...
Yeah, it was called CompuServe, GIF.
Yeah. And it was encumbered. It was patent encumbered for a long time, right?
Right. Yeah, because of the compression.
Sperry, I think, owned the patent, of all people. Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried, the comic, passed, but his connection with tech was...
I love this connection.
It was the voice of Clippy.
Right there behind Paul.
Yeah, also the voice of the Affleck duck. Can I play a little? Let me play a little. Here we go. A little Clippy for you. This is from a Flash player playing on Office XP. Say hello, Clippy.
Why, hello there. I'm leveraging real-time, legacy-compliant collaborative microbranding to complete the most important project in my company's history. As soon as I finish this proposal,
It looks like you're writing a letter. Would you like help?
Okay, enough. I don't want any PTSD. I should have had
you hit Control S?
Trigger warning there. Yeah, you still do, don't you, Jeff? You said
he's very funny.
As you're going.
He's a very funny guy.
Amazing. Yeah. There's a great documentary about him. He was quirky. He collected hotel soaps.
I do that. But I use them.
Yeah, so. He never used them, apparently. His wife showed a whole, under his bed, there were thousands of hotel soaps.
Awesome.
The co-founder of Razer and a pioneer of the gaming mouse passed this year, Robert Krakoff. He was 81. He created the gaming hardware company Razer and was the first to make a mouse designed specifically for gaming. The Razer, do you remember this? I know, Paul, you remember the Razer.
They're still around.
The Razer Boomslang.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Razor's still around, but the boom slang. Now, there was a mouse. The boom slang. Yeah, yeah, that was a mouse. This came from a doc. He apparently knew Craig Burton, passed away this year. Tell us who Craig Burton was.
Yeah, Craig, I remember back in the middle of the late 80s, networking was, there was data communications and communications with, these are fat magazines, and they came out weekly or monthly, and it was all SciTech versus 3Com versus IBM. And it was Token Ring versus Ethernet, yeah. Who wins?
Yeah.
And Novell came along and said, we don't care what it is, we're going to run the software on that. And that was Craig's idea. Craig's idea was to go one level above that. Novell, before Craig, was basically made yet another sort of some piece of hardware. And they were actually in the hardware business, but they didn't like to brag on that. And there's one point where Craig told me, he said, you know, we are actually the number one seller of Ethernet boards and for PCs. And I said, why don't you make a thing of it? He said, because it's going to be a $0 business pretty soon. Is that good?
That's right.
It's going to go away.
Completely commoditized.
He was so full of wisdom on a lot of things. And after he and his wife, they weren't married at first. They had kind of an affair, and then they got married. Judith Clark, who then became Judith Burton. She invented LAN times, a bunch of conferences and things. Just really brilliant people. And they became good friends because I work with them through the advertising agency I had in the late 80s and early 90s. And they started a consulting outfit called the Burton Group, which had a bunch of conferences and things. But he was a really brilliant guy. And he also introduced me to Kim Cameron, who died a little over a year ago. So, but Kim was the lawgiver on identity. He had the seven laws of identity, which have guided Microsoft and everybody else for, you know, since 2004, you know, basically limited disclosure for constrained use, justifiable parties, individual control and consent. And when Kim was first at Microsoft is when they were trying to do Passport. Remember Passport was part of the Hailstorm, one of the stupidest names ever
a brilliant idea for a single sign-on password system.
But you know, Kim, one of the things Kim said to me was, when you see the corpse of Passport floating down this river, one of the knives in his back will be mine. And he was from Canada, and he was one of the sweetest, least aggressive people on earth. But he was great. And you know, both of them were good friends, and they died in the last year.
It's so easy to forget we focus on the Elon Musks of the world that really those guys aren't doing anything. It's the people who are doing the real work, like Craig Burton, that really are making a difference. And so little celebrated, so little remembered. So it's one of the reasons I wanted to do this is to remember these folks. Dave Smith passed this year. He created MIDI at Sequential. He also introduced the Prophet 5 synth. He was the father of MIDI, dead at the age of 72. You know, I mean, how many of us use MIDI? Everybody, right? And synthesizers wouldn't exist without it. Dave Smith. We were lucky. We didn't lose anybody in our family. Well, we only lost one in our family, and that was John Foster, who was one of the originals on Mac Break Weekly. He was a Pixel Core member. He was on our podcasts. He also passed away this year. And he later started a podcast about beer, which is probably what he'll be best remembered for. But there he is in the original Pixel Core offices downtown on Market Street in San Francisco with Alex Lindsay. Probably doing an early Mac Break episode, John Foster.
History.
Yeah. And again, you know, I remember him. You remember these people, but often they aren't very well known. Here's one who, of course, was Nichelle Nichols, Star Trek's Lieutenant Uhuru, passed this year. And her ashes are actually in space, launched out into space. Here's NASA's tweet. We celebrate the life of Nichelle Nichols, Star Trek actor, trailblazer, and role model. She said she wanted to quit Star Trek because she had so little to do, And Gene Roddenberry said, you can't because you are a role model for black people and black women, especially everywhere. You need to be on. She, of course, the first interracial kiss with Captain.
And she helped NASA a lot, too, later on.
As a PR kind of.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Good. She passed this year. So did Kathleen Booth, the inventor of assembly language. Hmm. Her story is fascinating. She was 100 years old. She born in 1922. Her career with computers began during World War II in the very earliest computers. She designed in 1946 with her future husband the automatic relay calculator, one of the very first digital computers. And, of course, if you've got a digital computer, somebody's got to write the code for it. So she did. And so I know, Steve, as a user of assembly language, you probably want to mark her.
She also stayed active throughout her entire life and just recently wrote published a book with her son on some advanced computer technology.
So, on neural nets.
She had a long,
I mean, talk about spanning the entire history of computing from the first digital computers to using neural nets to identify marine mammals
right
in 1993. That's really amazing. Kathleen Booth. I know our fans were saddened by the passing of Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. Now, you may not know his name or his face, but you definitely know his voice, which I will not play because apparently nobody wants me to. But you will remember his voice. Let me see if I can find the tweet. Maybe the tweet will.
But it was Bruce Wayne.
He was Batman and Bruce Wayne. Wait a minute. I hope that's not a spoiler.
What?
No, forget it. Forget what I just said. Also, a science fiction author you and I love, I know, Steve, Greg Bear, passed away.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
He wrote Eon.
Yeah.
It was a good book.
I loved Darwin's Radio, Blood Music, wonderful Hugo Award-winning books. Passed away. We lost a great one. One of the greats.
These people are not old enough.
Yeah, 1951. That's
All these people are younger than me. I don't like that.
55.
Like I said, you get to a certain age, you start reading the.
I know it's terrible.
Obituaries, and what do you look at? You look at the age.
Yes, and unfortunately, the phrase "knowing where the bodies are buried" is unfortunately literal.
And finally, Frederick P. Brooks Jr. passed away just a few weeks ago at the age of 91. There he is holding a Macintosh for some reason. Best known not because of the Mac, but because he wrote the book, The Mythical Man Month, which was one of the great computer science books. The idea that throwing more people at a computer problem will not solve it.
Yeah, and make it longer. Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes it worse.
Adding people to a late project makes it longer.
Yep.
Makes it later.
Came out in 75. Somebody told me it doesn't age well. Things have changed a little bit, but
I don't know. Elon Musk seems to be following this guideline.
I remember, I have the book. I remember reading it and finding it very, informative and important. So that's the last of the humans that I at least know of that passed this year, but we should probably tip a cup to Stadia, which also passed away this year, killed by Google.
We hardly knew ye,
but at least we got our money back. Folks, you are great. I love you all. I love doing shows with you.
We love you.
It's the greatest privilege in the world to get to talk to these people.
Can we say Merry Christmas to Lisa? Is she there?
She just left.
Lisa left.
Because we've got a football game or something coming up. No, I think the Niners are playing in an hour. But
Lisa has priorities, is what he's saying.
Yeah. No, she was here for most of the show. She really enjoyed it. Paul Thurrott, I will see you on Wednesday. We're going to wear our Clippy sweaters in honor of Gilbert Gottfried. Freed. Your hat is slipping backwards.
I know, it's skewing. It's too small for my head.
Host of Windows Weekly, Thurrott.com, of course, is where he blogs. His books are at leanpub.com. Get the field guide to Windows 11. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. I'm really grateful that you came this afternoon. An extra recording.
Yeah. Good to see everybody here. Thank you.
So nice to have you guys here. Steve Gibson, the Grinch. Who did not steal?
I'm wearing this from now on.
You look
on
the so podcast. Good.
I know. You found Zen, haven't you?
It's the new look.
It's crazy.
He's a mean one, Mr. Steve. He'll be back Tuesday. Security Now, our last show of the year. And of course, the
he's so happy. He has found his
ooze. He really got into it. I thought by the end of the show.
He may not be able to stop when the show
I'm
going to
dream
over.
About him tonight. Not in a weird way, but well, maybe in a weird way.
Can you do the live long and prosper in the Grinch?
Boy.
I don't know. Hey, you can.
Yeah, I know you could do it. Hey. You definitely could do it.
Bless you, Steve. Yeah. It's great. Jeff Jarvis will be
green
back.
Screen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just a matter of time before people put things in those gloves.
I'm yes. Yes.
Jeff Jarvis, BuzzMachine.com, our host here at This Week in Google. I'll see you Wednesday for our last show.
Yes, you will.
Of the year. We missed you yesterday, but I'm so glad to get you on this show. I appreciate it. His book is coming out next year, 2023, to get the Gutenberg book. He's been talking about it for a decade. B-I-T.
Endlessly. You finally, the good news is once it comes out, then I can finally stop talking about it.
No, we don't want you to because everybody gets drunk when you say Gutenberg. bit.ly/buyGutenberg if you want to pre-order the book. Great to have you.
Jeff. Thank you,
thanks
boss.
Thanks for being here. Doc Searles, the host of Floss Weekly every Wednesday. It's great to have you. He's right before Windows Weekly. Legend in the open source community. Longtime editor of the Linux Journal. That's where I got that shirt.
Legend exceeds me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fine.
Doc.searles.com. We'll see you Wednesday for Floss. And I'm going to be on a special Floss. It's kind of similar next year, right? We're doing a special Floss. It's on my calendar, I think.
Well, we have to.
Around
it was great having you at the end of the radio one that we did.
Oh, yeah. Tim Pozar, my old friend, was
Tim
on.
Pozar.
Yeah, talking about low power.
We're going to have him back. We should have you back for
the
show.
I'll come for the whole show next time, but I
yeah,
will
come
be on
for
the
that whole show.
I'll be on the
it'll
whole
be great.
Table later, later in, earlier next year. Thank you all for joining us. We love our audience, too. Couldn't do it without you. I really appreciate your patience with us over the past 17 years. I'm looking forward to a very exciting 2023. One of the best things about covering tech is it's ever changing. It's always interesting. And it's always, I think, pretty important to our future. So thank you for participating at TWIT. We have many ways you can do that. Of course, you can watch our shows. We send out live audio and video of our shows as we record them. We make them available for a download, too, as podcasts. You can communicate with us in our IRC at irc.twit.tv. We have a Mastodon at twit.social. We have a discourse forums, which are great, at twit.community. And, of course, the Club Twit is the best way to participate, $7 a month, but you get ad-free versions of all the shows. You get the Club Twit Discord. You get the special shows that we don't put anywhere else, like Paul Thurrott's hands-on Windows, Michael Sargent's hands-on Macintosh, the Untitled Linux Show with your co-host, Jonathan Bennett, Doc,
and the GizFizz.
Oh, he's wonderful. Lots of great content on the feed, but mostly it helps us kind of smooth out the ups and downs. We are an ad-supported network, but honestly, if I had my druthers, I'd be a Twits-supported network. You help us with that when you join. twit.tv/clubtwit. I know it's Christmas Day, but if you didn't get that special gift yet for the geek in your life, there is a year package. It'd be just right. twit.tv/clubtwit. Have a wonderful
and let me come in. Let me add. Wait a second. Wait. Because they don't get the commercial. They don't hear that. Let us at the, say Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Mainly thank you, Santa Claus, Club Twit members.
Thank you, Club
Twit
members.
We are all grateful for supporting
Twit.
Yeah,
you're right. They don't get any ads, including the ad for Club Twit, but we are very grateful that they...
yay to you all.
And we are able to do a lot of stuff in the club that it really is special. So, yeah, it's a way of showing your support, but it's a way of us also getting a better, more intimate interaction with you. So we're happy.
Now you can say goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful Christmas. We recorded this on the 15th, so anything that happened in the past 10 days we didn't know about. It's not our fault.
We're not AI. We don't know the future.
We don't know the future. Mag 3, what's that? But we are so glad you were here. I do hope you have a great holiday.
I see. We may not even be I.
Yeah, we're just A, no I. We will be back with a best of show on New Year's Day. That'll be the best of 2022. And then a brand new TWIT on January 8th. All the shows return after New Year's Day. Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year. And we'll see you in 2023. Another TWIT is in the can.
Bye-bye. Amazing.